Boy, here we go. Just another week. Just another week like any other week at the Drew and Mike Show from the DealsNadie.com basement studios. And we've got the skeleton crew today. Just me, Mark, and Brandon. And we're fresh off watching the Detroit Lions gain all that momentum from their lucky win last week against Atlanta, which they had no business winning.
I was trying to figure out, when did that game end today in your mind? When was that game over? And there was no recovering.
Stafford's interception, probably.
Yeah, that's probably the right answer. But I was
they're
thinking,
losers.
I was thinking the in the first quarter after they roughed the passer, or the unsportsmanlike.
That was a big play.
It's going to be one of those days.
Honestly, what was the final score? I don't even know.
I turned it off after the interception because it was the witching hour on the Red Zone channel, but I think it was 40. Was it 41-21?
Okay.
Does that sound right, Brandon?
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, I said it last week when the Falcons failed to take a knee with the ball, which any team in the world would have done. I mean, 99 times out of 100, high school teams know to do this.
You saw the Inside the Huddle audio, right?
No, I didn't.
Of Matt Ryan telling them that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to pull it up, Brandon? You want me to? Oh, it looks like Brandon's already on it.
Yeah. No, I didn't. And I did hear the excuse, though, from the running back saying that, I could call out the defense because they let the win. I'm not going to do that. I shouldn't have scored. I tried not to score. I did everything I could not to score.
Don't score. Yeah, I would don't score. Down. Don't score. Get the first. Get down.
The give is to Gurley. Gurley through the middle. They're going to let him score.
And he went in. That's a big mistake by Todd Gurley. Lions are going to get it back. What a mental mistake by Todd Gurley.
That's from Inside the NFL.
That was so lucky. I mean, they had no business winning that game against the worst team in the NFL, and they got a break.
Although the Falcons won on Thursday night, so maybe they're not so bad.
They've won two games. The Lions should be 2-5, but instead they are 3-4, which I suppose is probably good enough to get Matt Patricia a couple more years.
if you're going to do a whole bunch of shouldas, I mean, they should have won that first game, too, and Swift dropped the ball.
But he dropped the ball.
No, I know. Well, but the Gurley scored.
But they didn't even have to snap the ball. I mean, they didn't have to hand the ball off.
I know that's.
I mean, I don't think those are really comparable.
It's the wacky NFL for you.
But yeah, okay. So they're three. They are what they are. They're 3-4.
They pretty much are a 3-4 team.
And I don't think they're better than 3-4. If anything, I think they're worse than 3-4.
Oh, really?
Well, they've lost two games blowouts. Weren't the Packers? Didn't the Packers win by three touchdowns?
And then today. Mm-hmm.
What were the other two losses? Oh, the Bears. Yeah, that was close. They gave that away. And the fourth loss.
That's what they are. They're losers.
Maybe it was closer.
I can't even remember what the other loss was.
And they won one blowout against a terrible team, and they won one on a very fortunate mental error that never should. I mean, he shouldn't have been handed the ball.
Yeah, but if you extend that, aren't they a 6-10, 7-9 team?
Yeah.
Really? You think they're worse than that?
Yeah, probably. They're probably 6-10, 7-9. Yeah. They probably will, but
I don't know.
They were 9-7, and that wasn't good enough. I'm really not sure how Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia managed to change the narrative to it's a total rebuild.
I don't get it.
They're just terrible, and they're not going to get good. Their defense sucks ass. 41 points today. I mean, it's funny how. Every once in a blue moon, hey, the defense, they're doing this, they're doing that. They're stopping the run. They gave up 92 yards rushing or something. And then the next week, it's all gone. No, they're terrible. They're just terrible. And Matt Stafford, I just feel like they have to start over. I'm not even blaming him. I just think they need to move on.
How about the fact that they lost a game where the other team missed two extra point kicks?
I know, that was funny because when Indianapolis missed that, I thought, Well, that'd be kind of funny. I mean, it seems like if the Lions did that, it would cost them.
This could be good, though. Maybe the Lions will finally fire him, and then they can hire Harbaugh away from Michigan and put us all out of our every Michigan fan
on
out of their misery.
On the banks of Red Cedar stands a school that's known to all. Its specialty is winning, for the Spartans play good ball. Spartan teams are never beaten. Throughout the game, they'll fight. Fight for the only colors, green and white. Go right through for MSU.
Hey.
Watch the points keep growing. Spartan teams are bound to win. They're fighting with a bib. Rah, rah, rah. See, their team is weakening. We're gonna win the game.
See, their team is weakening.
Rah, fight, rah, team fight.
Victory for MSU. Yeah. Well, I got to hand it to Mel Tucker and Michigan State. They had a great game plan. I don't know what to say. There was such a talent gulf being described that this can't possibly be a good game because the talent gulf is so big.
I don't know who said that.
Oh, a lot of people said it. Sean Windsor said it.
Sean's wrong.
I told
you 2 weeks ago, Michigan is not that good, and part of the reason is they have lack of talent and depth. And I'd like to amend that a little bit.
But they're supposed to have the 18th composite talent.
I'd like to amend that they don't have the talent to overcome a very stubborn coaching staff.
Well, I don't know.
Spartans win.
I don't know what to say about their talent level. I think they have good players. It's funny. I got an argument early in the game. Where? I don't know. Joe Milton's played one bad game, one good game.
I don't have a problem with Milton. I didn't even think he was that bad. He was whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Supposedly they have the 11th best recruiting roster in the country. They've averaged the 11th best recruiting team since Harbaugh became coach.
Remember, pride comes before the fall.
I mean, that could be just total bullshit. But I got an interesting argument with Maz. Let's see. This is when it was probably 14-7 Michigan State. And here's a tune. Oh, are you in Ann Arbor celebrating your birthday today?
No.
I'm at home. He thought we were having a party, which is, of course, not. No, I'm at home. Looks like a decent game. What do you think? Michigan should never be trailing this team for coaching.
Yeah.
Poor coaching penalties. Well, why are the Spartans running on three straight downs? Trying to run out the clock, LOL, because it was before halftime. Mm.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, I guess so, except their receivers can beat the corners. This would be the biggest embarrassment in UM history. And I said, that's saying a lot. Appalachian State?
It's easily Harbaugh's biggest loss.
Well, he said in history. I said,
crap.
I said Appalachian State. He said, this is worse to me. I said, worse than the block punt, too? And a long pause. Tied. Then today, he sent me, Jim Harbaugh's spiral at Michigan continues with worst loss yet.
I was disheveled.
And, you know, there was so much written after that game yesterday. It reminded me of the 63-29 loss, the Ohio State loss they were supposed to win.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was like all of a sudden a whole world after basically kissing Harbaugh's ass. All of a sudden, oh, he can't do it. He's terrible.
Yeah,
I
couldn't find one person that would support him today.
Son of a bitch.
Yahoo had a pretty good article. That's one Yaz sent me, or Maz sent me. Jim Harbaugh's spiral continues with his worst loss yet. OSU, Penn State, Michigan State fans.
I'm Jim Harbaugh.
Are all hoping UM extends Harbaugh's contract. They get into the whole, you know, Ward Manuel saying that he wanted a lifetime contract.
I got a really interesting message from someone, and I love this person to death. I don't know how much I trust this person, but I know they have very good connections. I don't know if they're fucking around is what I mean, but they have incredibly good connections at the university. And he said he has heard that Harbaugh was leaving after this year for personal reasons.
Oh, bullshit.
Okay. I'm just telling you.
I mean, personal reasons would be because he's not doing well and he has no way out.
I can tell
no
you.
Way forward.
Well, whatever you think it is, but I'm just telling you that he said that.
It's a rumor that has absolutely no substance.
Before the season started. But knowing this guy, he could be fucking around, but he is really tied in.
I'll tell you
who he is because you know who he is too. So
I love rumors.
Oh, I think if he leaves, it's because he's failed and he wants to not be fired.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like him.
But the rest of the Yahoo thing, it was much longer than, it was a long article, but after Saturday's defeat, The Harbaugh experience has spiraled into a predictable heap of uninspired mediocrity. Yeah. Michigan has failed its brand in history so resplendently that opposing fan bases are openly rooting for Harbaugh to get a lifetime contract. The latest flop marks the low point of his unremarkable tenure.
Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
And they said Michigan has slipped to the definition of unfounded arrogance, the bluster without the results.
Wait, we've had that for a long time, so that's nothing new.
And then, of course, 2-12 against the top 10, 0-5 against Ohio State. He's 0-3 at home against Michigan State. I didn't realize all three losses were at home.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Well, the block punt was.
Yeah.
The rainy game.
2 years ago they played. Didn't they?
Three years ago. The super rainy game. It was like 14-10.
So did they play two straight in East Lansing?
I think they did. Yeah, they did. Remember all the bitching about that?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was in the previous 2 years.
So, yeah, 0-3 at home against Michigan State, 0-3 at home against Ohio State, so 0-6 against those two teams at home, four straight bowl game losses. He's got a 72% winning percentage, 77% his first 2 years, so it's going down,
he's
I guess.
Not cutting it, and you guys couldn't be happier. So,
what do you mean you guys couldn't be happier?
You don't like him. You don't like Michigan. It's fine.
What do you mean I don't like Michigan?
You do?
I go to Ann Arbor like Saturdays a year. I like Michigan. I mean, I didn't go to Michigan. I'm not married to Michigan.
I'd agree with that statement.
What statement?
Well, just because you go there, go to the games, doesn't mean you like
Mark,
the team.
Mark, I go to the games
and I hate them?
No, I don't say you hate them. I just don't think you care.
No, I don't really care.
You like Harbaugh.
I think I'm pretty objective because it doesn't matter to me. Like yesterday, I just wanted to see a good game. Who won doesn't matter that much to me. I get accused of being a Michigan fan or a super fan, and I'm not. I like Michigan, and I like watching them. I watch Michigan's games almost every single week.
Well, hopefully, he'll just be gone after this year.
Wow. Are you okay?
Never heard such blunt. The cult, there's a break in the cult, my God.
I can't find one person that supports him.
I mean, this one game is the straw that broke the camel's back?
I think I've told you, I accepted a long time ago, they're a four-loss team every year now, no matter what, which from where they were with Rich Rod and Brady Hoke, I guess that's an improvement, and he's improved the fan base and the money and all that fun stuff and the national stature, but they're a four-loss team now going forward. No matter what. So if I just feel like the rest of the fan base finally realizes that, and it's just kind of done with them.
Sad.
But if they win the next five games, I think the fan base will be right back with them.
But they're not going to win the next five games.
But if they do, they will. Just like the revenge tour. The revenge tour was not that long ago.
Yeah, and that was a failure too.
But it was called the revenge tour.
You say it, bro.
Until the Ohio State game, everything was fine. And then last year was...
No. Didn't they lose one before that? No, 2016.
They lost to Notre Dame, then they lost to Ohio State, and then they lost their bowl game by a lot.
Yeah, that was a three-loss year, so I guess that's...
to Florida, 41-10 or something.
I guess that's a success.
The Ohio State game was so bad, it was like they're going to spend the whole season fixing Ohio State, and then Ohio State did the same thing.
They're the most stubborn.
You're taping for a Michigan State student, and I love to drink.
They were favored in that game. That's why Fish left.
That's why Wheatley left. They couldn't deal with his stubbornness and his insistence in the...
Well, his offense just sucks. I mean, it just they don't have an offense. The offense in college football is now everything. Finally, if they don't have that offense...
Well, they're running a more modern style the last 2 years under Gattis than they have. But the point being is that he finally realized that I'm not getting this job done the way we were doing it. I'll just let Gattis run it all. And he's not getting the job done now.
Yeah. Like I said, their offense, I just feel like.
Hot, hike.
From the first minute he got here, their offense has been pretty boring, pretty staid. A lot of runs up the middle. Why'd they ran up the middle? It seemed like they ran up the middle a lot yesterday.
What did I keep texting you every time they did it? Another successful run in the middle.
Yeah. Now, they did have, you know, it's
Ann
funny.
Arbor, thank you!
After the game, I looked it up, and I think they outrushed Michigan State, which means they should have won the game. Because the team with the more rushing yards wins this game every time, almost. They had 155 yards rushing and 34 carries, which isn't that bad. But they did seem to run up the middle a lot. So, anyway.
Because they're stubborn.
So how pissed was the the cult group.
Well, I think it's at apathy now, which is even worse than.
Oh, it's not apathy.
You want to see the thread of messages?
That's not apathy.
So
that's
sad.
That's anger.
Maybe I'm the one that's apathetic, because afterwards I was really, you know, I was pissed afterwards. And then a little girl came up and said, I know you're upset, but do you want to play war? I said, all right, fine. I guess things matter. More things matter.
Oh, war game matters more than Michigan football all of a sudden?
I'm saying that's what helped me get over it. It's nice having kids to do that.
Well,
even though she was trolling, it's funny. We got started the game late, and we get there, and it's on the TV, and I'm backing it up without looking at it. And I'm like, don't say anything, Charlotte. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. She goes, you're going to be mad. Oh, thanks.
Charlotte.
But it's like, I can't be pissed at a 6-year-old for that. So.
I didn't see the first touchdown. I swear to God, I turned the game at 12:20. I was like, 7-0. What's
beautiful
going on?
Beautiful pass.
Was it?
Yeah, but see,
long pass?
But see there. Yeah, but there. I think they had a long on all their five scoring drives. They had a long pass completion.
So why
but they're
didn't
losers?
They,
just remember that.
Why didn't they make adjustments to the long passing game?
They don't. Don Brown plays press coverage.
Well, no, it was didn't work.
No shit.
I mean, I just
that's what I mean about them being stubborn. They do what they want to do instead of looking at a defense too from the offensive side and say, "Hey, their weakness is corners." Like Michigan State did. Michigan goes, "We're just going to run our same fucking shit over and over and over and over."
We're really into the game plan here.
What do you mean?
Hey, Don, did you take a dump in your bed last night?
Don Brown?
I just don't. I don't know. Jim Harbaugh surprised me because when he was hired, of course, it was supposed to be national championship in 3 years or Big Ten title in 2 years, national championship in 3 years. And I mean, there was a lot of bluster. And honestly, I thought it was very premature.
Well, it's expectations. I mean, you set expectations high and they don't meet them. So.
Well, they set them way too high. But I mean, I certainly thought he would have won a couple Big Ten titles by now or been in the title game.
I kind of think it's moot. And the reason being is I was watching college football on Saturday and I was watching a game. And there was one team that was like 6-0, and then I flipped to another channel, and there was a team that was like 4-0, and then there was a team that was 1-0, and just the weeks, and I mean, all the numbers are so convoluted, and everybody's played different amounts of games, and then you lose Trevor Lawrence, and who, you know, to COVID-19.
That's right. And he can't play against Notre Dame. Oh, no.
I know, isn't that funny?
So, yeah, that's
it's just a weird college football season.
I was worried on Friday. Was that you I texted on Friday about? Okay, now I'm just telling you that Michigan's not that good because of how bad Minnesota got burnt by Maryland when the running.
Well,
the
yeah,
ball.
I think you thought the
I just
the,
like yeah, this team is just not that good.
The
they'll be 4-4 going into their crossover game at the end of the year.
The point spread was too big.
Ridiculous. Yeah,
it was 26 points.
26?
I mean before. Saturday. It was 21.5 or 22 on Saturday. And I have to be honest, everything I read in the Detroit Free Press, Detroit News, people expected them to wail on Michigan State.
I expect them to win.
I think people expected them to win big. And I thought they would, too, because State played lousy. They lost to Rutgers. I mean, Rutgers is greater than Michigan at this point in the season.
Did you listen to The Soul of Detroit or no?
The new one with Lee Thomas?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
I was telling ML, I said, maybe it was off there. I'm like, don't worry about the turnovers. Five fumbles.
Turnovers, you don't
not predict
you just don't
about
know
the
what that means.
Piece of garbage.
No, and they outgained Rutgers.
Sometimes teams are sloppy, though. I mean, you do have sloppy teams. They look like a very sloppy team. New quarterback. I mean, there's a lot going on there. And Michigan played very well in their game. So, you know. It was honestly, when you think about it, coaches reversing their fortunes in 1 week, I've never seen quite the drama.
Oh, probably,
with
yeah.
Jim Harbaugh is the worst. He must fucking go.
I agree with that.
And people saying, please give him a lifetime extension. And then Mel Tucker, his first wins against Michigan. So he's gone from being, oh, my God, what a disaster. In fact, I called this the Bobby Williams era. I thought it looked so bad because they were bad last year. I mean, they stunk.
One game, yeah.
Well, they stunk a lot of games, and they just didn't look like they could beat good teams, ever. So, we'll see. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Fun.
Drama. So, who's Michigan play next?
Indiana at home.
Oh, that could be a tough game.
See, that one, watching those two teams play, I kind of feel like Michigan will win that one.
Really?
I kind of do. Just based on the style of play. And the.
There's the old bluster.
Do I sound blustery? I don't sound very confident in it, but I think it's a game they actually.
They do have long. They have good receivers, though. They have good wideouts.
Sure. No, I know.
With crazy names.
But now that they've been exposed, hopefully that's something that would get fixed. Never at halftime, of course.
Okay. Well, what if Indiana makes adjustments at halftime? He's at the 15. He's at the
15. When you're doing good, you don't make changes.
It's not a sports podcast.
Well, we'll see. That'll be interesting. So, it could be. I think they've had great games with Indiana. The Harbaugh era, they've had overtime games with Indiana.
My one buddy said, he goes, is this the most penalties we've ever had in a game? I said, no, I think they had a bunch and won a game, and they did. I think they had 16 penalties against Indiana 2 years ago, and they won.
In overtime?
I don't know if it was overtime or not. They always beat Indiana, though.
Seems like Indiana's about due for their their once every other decade win against Michigan. Oh, yeah, I see.
Every other decade, maybe every four decades.
Oh, is it that rare?
I don't think they've beat them in a long time. I'm going to look it up.
Well, that's why Harbaugh's record is so, it's just really deceptive, because if you take away the Indiana wins, the Rutgers wins, I mean, the real Illinois wins, the teams that they always beat, who aren't any good. I mean, he beats the teams he's supposed to beat, and nobody else. So,
let's see. The last time they won, time they beat Michigan was 87.
Oh, that was the catch in the last play of the game? The Anthony Carter? No.
No, that was early 80s. Indiana last won in 1987, 14-10, and then before that, 1967. And then before that, 1959. So.
Wait, when was the long catch, the 68? Was that Minnesota? 80.
No, that was
oh, 1980.
Carter. Okay. Honk, 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 honk.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Eufer?
Yeah.
Euf.
Euf!
Well, 79. Here, let's do this. Let's talk about downtown Royal Oak. I was down there Saturday for a birthday coffee with Matt. That's how exciting birthdays are these days. After we worked out, had a nice workout, a little coffee. It was nice.
What a lovely day.
And downtown is, there's all those tents where people have built outwards to stay outside.
I want you two to kiss each other.
The heaters and stuff. Spend your holiday shopping dollars locally by purchasing Royal Oak Downtown dollars as a gift for your friends and family, or even for yourself. From today through December 31st, if you buy $25, $50, or $100 e-gift cards, you get a matching $25, $50, or $100 gift sent to you for free. Downtown gift cards can be spent at over 70 locations in downtown Royal Oak. You guys know all this because you were spending your $20, including bars, restaurants, and retail shops. Buy your gift card today by going to visitroyaloak.com. Additional details. Offer expires 12/31. Available while supplies last. Total bonus gift value limited to $1,000 per gift card buyer. So in other words, you can buy 10 $100 gift cards if you want to get 1,000. I mean, you can always go downtown. It's funny. That was the first question I asked. It was like, can you buy a ton of these? I mean, what if I buy 50 of them? Well, no, you can only buy 10. Downtown. Bonus gift card balance set to expire June 30th, 2021. So the deal is, if you buy a $100 gift card, your $100 gift card is good forever. The $100 matching is good till June 30.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay? So they're two separate things. DD has assumed the cost of all e-card delivery fees, including $1 plus 5% e-delivery fee on cards bought, and $1 per card for the delivery fee of the bonus card. This is a great deal. Visit RoyalOak.com. We'll keep talking about it. Yeah! And who does that? Wait, Dusty Springfield?
Close. You're very close.
Oh, damn it. Who is that?
I'm going to say it, and then you're going to know it.
I know.
Who's
I know.
That dude?
It's going to kill me. It's not...
Petula
Clark. Yes.
Mike's...
I was thinking it was the To Sir With Love. Lulu, for a second. Appears the whole world has gone nuts. And we can't stop talking about it, not to mention our friends at Zotford and Holly have been crazy since back in the day when being crazy actually meant something, and they've gone nuts with prices at Zot Ford with their craziest deals.
Nuts!
Their craziest deals of the year. Lease new loaded 2020 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $177 a month.
That's nuts!
Get to Zot Ford and lease the 70, the SUV everyone is talking about, the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT four-wheel drive as low as $212 a month. Finally, lease the toughest truck on the road, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 as low as $199 a month. And just when you thought things couldn't get any crazier, Zot Ford will have the highly anticipated Ford Bronco Sport in stock and ready for immediate delivery any day now. The Ford Bronco Sport. Let's go, Gabara. It's any day already. Give Anthony a call or Gabara. Be sure to say hi to the guys and get details at dealsandindy.com when you go to Zot Ford. That is, say hello to people. Do we have any numbers for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
We never tried the old lady who's voted in every election.
Oh, yes.
FDR.
Wow.
Since it's election week.
Should we call Josie back? Because the Queen Bee.
Yes, they caught the Queen.
Got the Queen Bee?
Killer Hornet, right? Murder Hornet.
I got that impression.
Weren't there two, or was that a different story?
There's two Queen Bees?
No. I think there's multiple nests. I keep seeing different stories about these murder hornets.
At Josie's house, you mean, or different places?
I think all within Washington. But I don't.
Josie is clearly the epicenter. I just hope she has those suits on the hooks in her back hallway by now.
Well, who knows? We could get a follow-up to what they did for Halloween. She was going to be a bee costume, but didn't know how to make it into a murder hornet. Someone suggested she wear an OJ mask. That was really, really funny.
Rates are still at all-time lows at All Financial. If your current mortgage is above 3%, you know, we used to say 3.5 and 4 months ago. If it's above 4, call All Financial. Now they're saying it's above 3. They think it can probably save you some serious money. What are you waiting for? Currently at All Financial, almost 70% of all loans don't require an appraisal. Call All Financial if you qualify for no appraisal loan. And in the month of November, here we are. Hall Financial is going to pay for your appraisal up to $500. Believe it or not, closing times have sped up again. Now it's 10 days or fewer. Just go to the website, click on Hall Financial, our website. Click on their link to get started. Fill out the link, davidallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike, or call 248-308-5000, NMLS number 1467435 for Hall Financial.
Did you have a good birthday, Drew?
Yeah, it was really pretty good because... you know, there wasn't anything I could really do, but, you know, I worked out, which I was proud of myself.
Hot.
And had my birthday coffee, and we had a nice time.
Happy birthday to him.
And then it's like,
I don't care.
A Michigan State game is, that's one of the most exciting days of the year for me because there's no pressure on me.
You weren't looking forward to this game, though, at all.
Well, I thought Michigan was going to kill him, but I would always watch it.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games where I know so many people who are so stressed about that game, and I know they're just aching with every single play. And here I am just enjoying the game, hoping for a good game. I mean, actually a close game. So I had a ball watching the game. And then I watched the Hokies and Louisville. And that was an exciting game. They won 42-34, I think. Yeah. By the way, our stud running back, the one that transferred from Kansas. Oh, go to hell. He had 140-some yards rushing. He's got 800 yards rushing.
What's their record now?
4-2.
Are they ranked?
I don't think so, no.
You know Michigan's still ranked, right?
What?
Well, Lottie frickin' duh!
How are they ranked?
They're also favored over Indiana.
What are they ranked?
23rd.
Why?
I don't know. Because they...
Is Michigan State ranked?
Because they have the name Michigan. No, Michigan State got 4 votes.
How many votes did Virginia Tech get?
That's what I'm looking for here. They got 11. Good job.
Okay. Go Hokies.
Well, I brought up your birthday because I wanted to give you this for your birthday, and you just haven't received it yet.
Happy birthday, Drew. This one's for you.
Done?
Oh, man, this would be so hard. Drew, it's your birthday. Time to celebrate and sing
about who you are, Drew. It's your birthday. Time to sing.
How embarrassing.
How many of these did he cut?
It's actually free.
I know, but isn't that really embarrassing?
What, that he did that?
Yes.
Yeah, it is really stupid.
But I guess he doesn't really get embarrassed.
No, he doesn't. Not easily. That's for sure.
Because a lot of people were pumped up that it was your birthday, and a lot of people were pumped up that you were hired as the new manager of the Detroit Tigers. Congratulations.
Ah, yes, AJ Hinch. Again, it's not a sports podcast, but these are huge events. What can we do?
I gotta say, I saw an article. I think it was a national article. It's like AJ Hinch's rewarded for cheating, and I'm like, yes, and I hope he cheats here, and I hope he is good as the Astros.
You know,
I don't care if what we cheat and win a World Series. Cool.
Hey, I'm looking for the trash can.
Why
are people bang that trash can
so judgy? The players who did it, and by the way, Hinch was not determined that he encouraged this. Wasn't it?
I'm sure he knew.
I think he did know, but I don't think.
Blind eye.
Yeah, maybe he should have done more.
Who cares?
But he suffered for it. He got blamed. He got fired.
Yeah, I know.
He lost a great job.
Now he has another.
What do people think? He shouldn't be canceled?
They think
forever?
They think he was let off easy.
I didn't think he'd be fired. I don't know why I didn't think he'd be fired. I just didn't think he would. And I think I was probably wrong about to think that, but I mean,
here's this one piece says Hinch was fired, missed a 60-game series where everything was a pain in the ass for everyone, as well as a season of questions about how he would respond and how teams would treat the Astros. But now he takes the wheel at Detroit.
So he only missed one season?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's 60 kind games. Of brief, 60, I guess.
It's really like a 60-game
well,
season.
He didn't choose COVID. I mean,
no, I know. Hey, I'm elated. Good. I want him to cheat here. He should cheat here because who would suspect that?
I don't know what he did. I'm not sure if he was – I should have looked it up – if he was with the organization in Houston when they got rid of J.D. Martinez, because that was a dumb move. It might have been before his time, but I do know that A.J. Hinch took guys like George Springer, Bregman, Correa, Altuve, and now he's got guys like Dork Torkelson and Austin Riley. He's got a young team. Maybe he can do what he did to the Astros.
It's probably a good spot for him, really. If they really have as much in the pike as they suggest they do, I don't think they do, frankly. I don't think they have what Houston had, but they've got a young team. They've got some young talent.
Did you see how quick the Tigers called them?
No.
Because his suspension ends when the season ends.
Oh.
They called him 30 minutes after the World Series
ended. Is that right?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, good for them. They should.
I was really surprised how many people poo-pooed it and said, oh, my God, I heard a cheater.
Good.
So I guess they're going to win it next year by cheating.
I hope. Come on. If you're a Tiger fan, who cares, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, I'd rather have him than 76-year-old Tony La Russa.
Amen. Yeah. I cannot believe La Russa got a job.
Can somebody refresh my memory? How did they steal the signals?
Trash can.
Well, that's how they signaled.
No, but how'd they know what it was? How'd they know what the pitch was?
The guy in the outfield, right? Using...
A guy in
center field camera.
Cameras, right?
Yeah. Okay, so he had binoculars on the catcher's hands and knew
they
the signals?
Yeah,
okay.
Something like that. They
did they, and they would they use that equipment camera. Back.
Yeah. I mean, were they doing that for entire games?
You know what? I don't know.
Because, I did hear a couple obvious samples of it.
And it did ruin some people's careers. There's a guy that played for the Blue Jays and is like, that's all he did. And the guy gets sent back to the minors and now he's caught, career minor league player.
Wait, all he did was what?
He pitched against the Astros and got lit up. I heard a podcast.
Well, you can know what's coming, and you still got to hit it.
No, but it was by far his. I'm just saying.
I mean, they did not steal every signal for every pitch all season. I mean, there were games where you did not hear that bang, 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 or innings where you didn't hear that bang, bang, bang. It was something. I mean,
just
they used it obviously
just
a critical moment.
Close games, yeah.
Sure, and I understand that's what they did was.
I just
pretty
always,
nuts,
I just
but honestly, I think people have been stealing signs for a long time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I always laugh because people, they'll steal signs if there's a runner on second. You don't.
But never
them
with
up.
This technology.
So what?
Well, I heard that the Giants were doing it like maybe the 50s from the scoreboard with binoculars.
So why is it just because you introduced technology to your cheating, it's worse?
Well, what did they use? Okay, they used the replay, the camera?
Yeah.
But
if you use technology and analytics to make your lineup, that's okay. It's just dumb. Oh. I've always hated baseball and their unwritten rules.
It depends on the unwritten rule. I think some of them are a little silly.
Rules have loopholes, and loopholes are made to be exploited.
Anyway, speaking of baseball and judgment, and this is not a sports story. This is a judgment story. So those of you who are so against sports stories, try to put yourself in the shoes of someone who doesn't like seeing people judged horrifically. Carlos Monterez's story about Justin Turner is so over the top crazy. I just couldn't believe. And And I heard, you know, the team say, oh, my God, can you believe what this? He could have killed someone. He kissed his wife. Because in the seventh inning, he was told he had tested positive. He's pulled from the game. And then he went and celebrated with the team, who never complained. Players ran away from him.
I mean, like the Tigers calling A.J. Hinch 30 minutes after the game ended. I mean, the bubble's over once the game's ended, right? He can do whatever he wants.
Apparently that's not, true. According to the baseball protocols. It seems to me if the players were that worried about it, and if his manager was so worried about it, wouldn't he have sat further away from him or stayed away from him? He knew. They all knew. They're all adults.
Go ahead, Brandon. Say what you were going to say about the headline. Were you going to say something about the headline of his article?
Carlos's?
Yeah.
I was
just asking what the headline was.
The headline was, Justin Turner's selfish act ruined the Dodgers' World Series victory and broke my heart. Ruined their World Series victory and broke.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Hey, first of all, is anyone sick on the Dodgers? Has anyone been hospitalized?
No.
Or do we know?
Who knows?
I'm just asking because, you know, we hear about, oh my God, and then there's never any follow up. You know, like the.
I saw him crying.
Not really a comparable event, but the White House Rose Garden thing with Trump and Amy Coney Barrett. Are all those people okay? Do we know that?
Yeah, they're all great. They're doing wonderful.
But no one ever says that. I mean, it's just like there's all this horrific judgment. In Justin Turner's case, I mean, he's around mostly people who are 30 years old, 27 years old. They all had been around him, too, when he had it.
Well, that's...
Because he played the first seven innings. He played the day before.
So, to Carlos, why don't you get mad at Major League Baseball for totally fucking up the test? You know, he was
They did.
Out. No, but why isn't... Carlos
I don't
mad
know.
At that. He said he's specifically mad at his favorite baseball player, Justin Turner, because Carlos is a huge Dodgers fan. Justin Turner went to the same college as he did, so he's been a big fan of his. But I don't think that would ruin my joy in the win.
Ruin the World Series
There's
victory.
No crying in baseball!
Broke his heart. The guy is still a balls-out player. He's a hard-nosed player. He busts his ass. He was the leader of that team. And to call it, and this is what he called it, the worst and most selfish decision I've ever seen in sports. Okay, first of all, it's around sports. It's not in sports. It wasn't in the game. Mm-hmm. But let's just look at stuff that athletes have done. O.J. Simpson killed two people. That was probably a selfish decision.
Well, and that didn't break Maz's heart. He still loves him.
Ray Lewis, however that guy got killed, whatever he did. I mean, that was bad. There's been numerous shootings, numerous beatings of women. And then he said for the rest. Okay, this is what he also said about Justin Turner. For the rest of his life, he has forfeited the right to disagree with people who break rules for whatever selfish reasons they can come up with.
It ain't all about you, sweetheart.
Now, what the fuck are you talking about? Okay, what about Doc Ellis? He pitched on LSD. That was selfish. Doc Good and Daryl Strawberry, they were cokeheads.
What about Pete Rose?
Pete Rose bet on baseball. What about Miguel Cabrera and his DUI and getting all hammered and threatening that 15-year-old in Birmingham and then playing the next day and going 0-for-4 because he was drunk and he was in the... He was in the jail in Birmingham till like 7 a.m.
Those don't affect the lives of other people.
Now, I wouldn't agree with that.
If Dave Roberts had COVID and maybe like died in a few days, and okay, yeah.
But Dave Roberts is an adult. Dave Roberts sat next to him. Dave Roberts didn't have to do that. I mean, you how do I understand? How do you blame? It's like blaming. If somebody gets in a car with someone who's really, really drunk, and they're probably drunk too, don't they share some blame?
Sure. Yeah.
Not all of it. I'm not saying it's all their fault. I'm not trying to victim blame or anything. I'm just saying if you get in the car with someone driving who's really, really drunk, then, you know, you're an adult. I mean, if you're a child, that's different. If you're an adult, you sort of knew the circumstances, and I would say certainly with the chance of getting this thing, which most people survive, by the way, fine. And I'm not trying to, you know, please don't say, my son died of COVID or, you know, 203. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is a guy who sat on a field next to somebody who they say, you know, could have been terribly, you know, affected by it, but is 65 years old, and he knows that, and he knows what his circumstances are.
I still think COVID's a pretty big deal, and I don't really care for all the deaths. That being said,
I don't care for all the deaths either, but that doesn't mean that this is the most selfish thing anyone has ever done. I mean, people have murdered people in this sport.
This article is so hype. It's just so over the top that it's ridiculous.
What about people running in the stands to beat up fans? Isn't that selfish? Maybe a little more selfish?
Watching the replay of the celebration and specifically focusing on him, he had the mask on except for when he was kissing his wife and when he was sitting next to Dave Roberts.
Sat down. Exactly. No, it was so overblown, and people are so incredibly judgy. I mean, I could go on and on. Juan Marichal beat John Roseboro over the head with a bat because he thought he was throwing the ball by his ear on the way back to the pitcher. I mean, you can see pictures of his bloody head. He pounded him over the head with a baseball bat.
Wait. To that point, how about does he have a problem anytime a pitcher throws at a batter?
Not that I'm aware of.
That can be pretty dangerous.
What about Kermit Washington punching Rudy Tomjanovich?
Yeah.
You know, just a blind punch that changed his life. Reggie Rogers killed three people with his car. That's an athlete. Brian Blades killed his cousin, shot him. Dante Stallworth, didn't he run over somebody on point? Legally drunk.
Kobe Bryant demanded to get that chopper to that Little League game.
Kobe Bryant also had allegedly a sexual assault. Some people said he's still, you know.
Yeah, but that didn't hurt anybody but him and the victim.
But Justin Turner hasn't hurt anyone. He has not hurt anyone.
What about
we know that someone is hurt by this?
Wait, didn't Pac-Man Jones have a teammate in the back of his car and he floored the truck and the guy fell out and died?
Oh, was that?
Wasn't that him?
Was he driving? I remember the guy fell out.
I thought that's how the story went.
For some reason, I don't feel like Pac-Man's in that story, but you're probably right.
Well, maybe it's made up.
How many athletes, by the way, have driven drunk? Remember the Cleveland Indians that drove in that? You know, two guys got killed by a doc and Jose Hernandez.
What
about athletes driving drunk? Bobby Ojeda. Athletes driving drunk but not killing people because they were lucky. That's not
selfish. Tiger Woods was driving on those pills.
Yeah. What about, does Carlos get this dramatic about all those people? Are they never allowed to disagree with people who break rules again for the rest of their lives?
His heart must break frequently.
Is Miguel Cabrera, isn't he a little selfish for his DUIs and his second family? Isn't that sort of affect other people? Like, the people closest to him in his life affect them terribly?
So what's real to Turner?
Everything is fine.
Holding a trophy, a celebration, a photo op. Turner would have still been a champion without any of that. Instead, he chose himself.
What?
I gotta tell you, and Brandon, you said it perfectly the day after. It's like, put yourself in his shoes. Because here's the other thing. Very well could have been a false positive. Not saying that it was.
He's been around them all the time. He's always been around them, and he's wearing a fucking mask.
But like Brandon pointed out, you bust your ass with these guys. You finally win a championship, and you're not going to try and celebrate with them as safely as possible, which I still feel like he was as safe as possible celebrating with them.
I'm just shocked at the tone that some people, you know, it's like they're looking at someone passing a sexual transmitted disease to someone, you know, having sex with someone without a condom when they have an STD, which athletes have done that.
When they're on AIDS.
Athletes have done that.
He decided he had...
Don't you stupid kids know the diseases you can catch?
He decided he had sacrificed enough, so he would sacrifice everyone else on the field.
No, you're
players,
not...
Players, coaches, wives, children's team personnel, support staff, photographers, everyone, young and old, athletes and...
Half of them didn't even use a condom.
It's so.
And I don't want to hear any baloney rationalizations about teammates being okay with Turner's choice and supporting his
record. They're adults! They are adults!
Why? Why can't you hear that? Because if Dave Roberts was so freaked out, he would have run away from him.
They knew, and they are adults. And adults make decisions sometimes that have certain risks, like people driving after a couple drinks. They do it all the fucking time.
Carlos Fowles.
And we don't judge them intensively. It's kind of fucking crazy.
Turner and the Dodgers don't get to make that choice. Major League Baseball does. They had rules and agreed upon protocols for a reason.
Oh, I guess no one ever breaks a rule.
The season was over once the game ended. That's why the Tigers could call A.J. Hinch.
I don't know. I got to tell you, I hate bringing this up because it suggests that somehow you don't feel like COVID is a bad thing. It doesn't mean it's a bad thing, but, you know, we face this thing all the time, like, how do you live your life with COVID? And I personally have made decisions where I don't go to this, I don't go to that, but I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I mean, we all sort of know how to keep ourselves, and some people violate it terribly, like there was a Halloween party for 400 people in New York.
Yeah.
That's probably stupid.
Yeah. I don't know, you see that story about the Northville kids, all the off-campus events?
Oh, no. Northville what?
Northville Public Schools. 75 students are under quarantine after they exposed to COVID through off-campus gatherings. Several homecoming parties, including a party bus, were reported during contact tracing with reportedly little evidence of mask wearing or physical distancing. Contract days.
Where were they going on a bus? To a football game?
Probably homecoming parties, they said.
Oh.
Contract tracing also found that some students who were supposed to be quarantined due to a family exposure still participated in out-of-school activities.
Yeah.
This is fucking stupid.
This is what people that are, when you're six, when you're like 15, 14, till you're 22, 23, people do crazy fucking things because they're, you know, they just do. They're going to do it. Well, and those are the people that you really have to worry about, in my opinion.
If I was Carlos, I'd be way more pissed at these people than Justin Turner.
If you have to be pissed at them, they're also kids. You know, kids do dumb things. They just do. You know, I'm not pissed at them. Somebody was unable to make it clear to them. I mean, don't those kids have parents? Their parents don't know where they're going?
I know. It's pretty stupid.
Can parents ask kids to do anything
anymore?
They
know that the majority
of stupid kids know the diseases you can catch.
Was it like 57% of the new spread is all from home gatherings? Because people don't wear masks when they're hanging out at home with their friends and family. The small gatherings.
Well, you know, there's a lot of them from colleges, too. By the way, Whitmer never talks about sending all the students home from college.
Well, no,
campuses.
Don't send them home. Keep them where they are.
No, when they're at home, though, they don't have these people to party with. When they're in a dormitory, they're
going to
party.
I don't want to bring it home.
No, I don't mean bring it home. I just mean that they're going to not, when they converge on a college campus, they're going to party. They're just going to.
If they're
going to
party,
you know they're going to.
Wait a second. If they're
going to
party at a college campus, they'll party at home, too.
Not the same. Not the same.
You didn't party when you went home?
I didn't have big parties to go to all the time,
really?
Every night.
Okay.
When I was on a college campus, there was stuff every night. There were multiple parties to go to all the time. And I don't think you have that at home.
I just think if you're going to
Why do
that,
we have massive spreads in Ann Arbor and East Lansing and, you know.
Communal living. Yeah.
Well, that's a bad idea. But nobody ever complains about it. No, I never hear the governor. I've heard her get really personal about people who have, you know, spread COVID, including Trump, who she said was a super spreader, and turns out the Department of Health said no. There's one case.
Yeah, but did you see that Pennsylvania rally?
I did. Yeah.
That's the most people I have seen altogether, I think, since...
That was unbelievable. I got to say, it's unbelievable on two levels. One, it's unbelievable that 57,000 people would be in one place. It's also unbelievable that 57,000 people went to that in a town of 12,000? What the fuck was that?
I don't know. They love them.
It's a rally.
By the way, Joe Biden had an event where people were gathering together and they were bunching up. I'm just telling on him. It was not a big rally, but there were people not socially distanced at a Joe Biden rally. And then hours later, it's really funny because all the comments were, is the media going to talk about this? And it's like, you know, I don't know, 100 people versus 57,000. But anyway.
That's because he can't draw that many. Hey, do you think they told Stevie Wonder that people were going to be in cars, so when they honked, they wouldn't flip them out?
How could Stevie Wonder? I don't know. I swear. Watching Obama and Joe Biden talking to cars that are socially distanced, it looks so stupid. Now, I'm not saying
they're talking to the
it's
cameras.
Wrong to be safe. But
make no mistake. They're talking to the cameras.
Oh, I know what they're talking to, but there are cars socially distanced. I mean, it looks ridiculous.
Did anyone tell Stevie, or do you think he was in the middle of a traffic jam when everyone started honking?
I didn't see Stevie.
You didn't see him at all? He did, this is what's funny.
He did Superstition.
He did. He performed for like 20 minutes, and the thing I saw said, hey, he performs Higher Ground and Superstition, two of my two favorite Stevie Wonder songs, by far. In between those two songs, he played two of his new tracks.
Why did he do that?
He played two new tracks.
I know, I read that.
Like, Stevie, no one wants to hear these new songs.
I wonder.
But he didn't. This is the only way he politicized the one song. This is a really cool move here.
Was one of them called Joe Biden?
Well, that's why.
Joe Biden.
That's why I listened to the whole thing, because I wanted to see if he broke anything out like that. This is all he did, was change a line in Superstition.
Does that make sense in that song?
Probably not.
We're talking about Superstition.
There's a couple other lyrics that are changed.
There were?
I hate when people do that. It's sort of like the Wayne Gretzky, Oh Canada.
Oh, that was cool.
It was so dumb.
But then again, it could have been the newer songs, because it was like All Lives Matter. And I think he was...
Wait, he said all lives matter? He got canceled?
No, I think he was talking like to Trump in the song lyrics. I don't know. The whole thing's on YouTube. It's 20-minute long concert. He actually interrupts his band a couple times because they screwed some things up.
Yeah, and while he wanted to know
what,
want to know why all that traffic was honking,
and then he excoriated his band. Did he rag on his band? Stevie did.
Yeah, I don't know if they were if they started off wrong on one of the songs.
Was he like pissed?
Let's see what he's talking about here.
We're supporting the president, future president. And future vice president of these United States, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
Kamala?
And yes!
The car honks.
Yes! I hear that someone wants to give Black Americans or African American people a holiday. They want to make supposedly Juneteenth the holiday. Okay, I'll tell you what you can do better than that.
Do you think Biden's going, hey, Stevie, you just play the songs?
Give us reparations.
Does he need the money?
Meanwhile, Biden's going,
stop working! All done for the last 400 years. Unpaid.
I agree.
And we think about some 200,000.
Even his bass player wants to start playing the songs.
I think 200,000, 208,000.
I agree.
80,000 people that have died from this virus in this country.
That's
and
a
you're talking about.
It's not 280,000.
Trying to end health care, affordable care for people, which they're in court right now trying to destroy. That's unacceptable.
I do have. I found the part where he.
I think people want to hear some music.
Check this out.
How long did he go on? I love Steve Wonder, by the way. I mean, I just think he's a great, 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 great guy. I just think he should have rocked.
Hold it, hold it, hold it. Let's do it again. Go. Can we get him?
Of course, nobody noticed anything was wrong. I didn't. Wait, what did, that was all we missed was a little intro?
I guess.
Yeah, it's a restart.
Wow, I'm kind of digging getting here to over, because I like the second intro, too.
Well, that's fine. I like those songs, so.
I'm surprised he was popping off about actual issues. Did he? What else did he say? Did he keep talking for a long time?
No, there's only like a minute left. I already
went
by it.
I saw something so flipping funny on the subject of music over the weekend. I mean, I laughed my ass off about this. I don't even know why I saw this. I think it was on Twitter because maybe it was the anniversary. It was a video of David Lee Roth at a University of Iowa game in 1986. He had just splintered from Van Halen, and he was playing that night at the University of Iowa in one of their, maybe in the basketball arena. And he was going wacko at the football game. He was like leading the band and running on the field, doing leg kicks in the middle
cool.
of halftime. You want me to see it?
He's
you found it?
Up there. Yeah.
It's Ultimate Classic Rock has the whole video. It's fucking hilarious.
It's on YouTube too. David Lee Roth at Kinnick Stadium.
Have you ever seen this?
No,
I haven't seen it either.
Are they playing there? Iowa State, so it's the big rivalry game.
Yeah. He's wearing this white hat. He's got a sleeveless T-shirt on. He's
that grin, you can see it.
I know.
From a mile away.
Here he comes out in the field running out with, what is that, the two captains?
No, those guys aren't captains. Those are guys just in costume, aren't they?
Are they?
Look at that kick.
Look at the leg kick.
Well, I mean, the one guy has aviator sunglasses on.
Is the crowd cheering him? It seems like they are.
Is this all he does is run around?
Oh, he does butt to butt.
Oh, on a
flag. With this
flag
girl who did not like it, by the way.
Woo!
She was not happy. She was embarrassed.
You know,
wow.
I mean, he's like running around within the band.
I got my ass eaten out by a father and a mother in Des Moines, Iowa.
His kicks.
Oh my God.
Okay, is he leaving for good? Oh, wait, we still got the game. There must be more.
They should put him in at quarterback.
I don't think.
No more DLR?
Is there a story behind this? Like, why?
He was playing that night at the campus. Okay. So. Let's see. Dale Roth invade a college football game in 1986. Fans attending the annual football game in state. Got a surprise visit from Dale Roth during the halftime show.
I mean, Roth is from the Midwest, isn't he?
No, he's from California.
Oh, he
His
is?
Dad was an eye doctor, I think. And
dentist, wasn't he?
Dentist? Oh, dentist?
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only way to look it up.
So anyway, Eddie did a song out this week called Somewhere Over the Rainbow Bar and Grill. That's supposed to be a tribute to Eddie. I didn't really hear the tribute part so much. I mean,
I think he just dedicated it to him.
Okay.
Because it sounds like it's just David Lee Roth talking about his life or something. I don't know.
That's kind of how I took it. But he does draw more attention by dedicating it to Eddie, because I listened to it. It's not a bad song. It's not his best song.
Isn't that's John
right. That's right.
Five.
The thumbnail.
Sorry, go ahead.
The thumbnail says, "Hey, Ed, I'm going to miss you. See you on the other side." And then he goes into his new song, which really doesn't have anything to do with Eddie whatsoever.
Week in the corner when the record deal happened, a week before I found out. I was sleeping on the floor with my new best gal in a very, very empty house. Wrong kind of nonconformist, that's the case and always be. In a sleeping bag, front of the fireplace, your girlfriend and me. Somewhere over the rainbow bar and grill. Well, I never knew me a better time, and I guess I never will.
It's all right.
It's fine. It's not terrible.
I mean, it's nothing.
Two incorrect corrections. Number one, he grew up in Indiana, moved to California as a teenager, and you're right, his dad was an eye surgeon.
Okay.
What
was the incorrect correction besides that?
He grew up in Indiana. He was from the Midwest.
Oh, okay.
But moved to
How
California.
Did he get to... Oh, they moved to
there
California.
When he was a teenager, yeah.
Okay.
Bloop.
Well, I saw something else that was just... really interesting, because there's a lot of Eddie Van Halen stuff. In fact, there's a great article in Spin about Eddie Van Halen, and there's a great article attached to Rolling Stone about Eddie. I think it's called The Joy and Sorrows of Eddie Van Halen. That's a really long story, and I enjoyed them. I like reading about, you know, these recently deceased people and things I didn't know. Anyway, somewhere in there, I bumped into this. It was Eddie playing to his own private party. And you don't have to play it, but he's doing Eruption, and then he goes into Rebel Yell.
Oh, weird.
With Eric Dover was singing, who I think was in Slash's Snake Pit. And the funny thing about Rebel Yell is that Eddie is just soloing all over the place. Like, over the lead singer, over the hook of the song. He's just...
As he should.
Yeah. I mean, the band is just sort of there to provide something besides him. And it was very enjoyable, but it was kind of sometimes it didn't really seem like Rebel Yell because he was soloing so much. He had two cigarettes attached to the guitar. You know how he does that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And people were kind of suggesting that this was during Eddie's sort of crazy period. Although he was having a really good time. He didn't look out of control to me, but I guess maybe. Anyway. Underneath one of the Eddie stories, I saw they had a full list of all the musicians who've died in 2020, and I realized that there's a few that we haven't really even mentioned. I don't know why, but I think we talked about Frankie Benali, didn't we?
Yes.
Quite right?
Yes, we did.
Briefly.
Mm-hmm. How about Peter Green from Fleetwood Mac?
We mentioned it. We didn't talk much about it, but yeah.
I just read a long story about him this weekend, and, you know, I knew he had sort of blown his mind Sid Barrett style. Yeah. But I didn't really know he was actually diagnosed as a schizophrenic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he just sort of never really came back in full. But he was part of the original Fleetwood Mac before Lindsey and Stevie, which was Mick Fleetwood, John McVie, the bass player. That's why it was Fleetwood Mac. And, of course, John married Christine Perfect, who became Christine McVie, and she was in the band. And Peter Green, though, he was really the guitar, big blues guitarist and quite a kick-ass guitarist. They had a lot of hits with him, especially in the UK. I think they had a couple over here. And he was really the heart of the band, and then he just lost it. And Mick Fleetwood swears it was one... he was pretty much over the top with LSD and with partying and that sort of thing, but he said that he took a couple tabs of acid at this event party they were at, and he said he just was never the same. It's so weird. And Syd Barrett, it seems like it's the same story, except no one attaches it to one specific trip. But in this case...
Is that just like the tipping point? Like he had done so much and...
You know, that's a
good... Or is it one really bad trip, and if you did it that night, you would be all...
It sounded sort of like that, but I couldn't quite take it that way. But
hard
I think
to believe.
Mick Fleetwood said there were other people at the same party who did the same blotter acid who seemed to have real problems afterwards.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
I know. I never really heard that before. So that was really weird. Steve Priest from Sweet. I don't know if we mentioned
we
him.
Did
he's
not mention
he's
that,
a bass player. Anyway, I love Sweet, so... And then Tony Lewis from The Outfield, the lead singer of The Outfield, you know, Your Love. Chelsea, which was a huge hit over here. And it's funny, I was listening to some of their other songs, and now I remember them, because they had, the first album was a pretty big album. I mean, they're kind of a power pop band, and Tony Lewis sounded like a great guy. In fact, that's him. What a voice in that guy, and he sounded great to the bitter end.
Why were they called The Outfield?
Somebody was a big baseball fan.
Is that really why?
Yeah, the album's called Play Deep. And they
this
had
is
another,
what he said. He said...
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
They had another baseball-related name before that.
They have any other hits?
You know, they did, because that was such a big hit, but I just don't think they were as big.
So this one has like 9 times the streams that this one does. I don't know this one. All the Love? That's nice. They like love. Their two big songs have love in it.
You love me?
I mean, they really have a power pop.
Okay.
They just have a power pop sound. And his longtime bandmate died in 2014. I guess he went through a really tough stretch, depressed, and then he sort of came out of it. And was playing gigs, lots of gigs, and to good crowds, too. The Outfield, they were still a draw, somehow. I mean, really just had the one big hit, but they were still a draw. And he died suddenly. They didn't really say what it was. So, anyway, he was 62 years old, I believe. Emily Ratajkowski has posed Demi Moore nude style.
Wait, you forgot another big music death.
Who?
This weekend, Nikki McKibben.
Oh, from American
former
Idol.
Former American Idol contestant died of an aneurysm. I think she's the fourth American Idol finalist to die, which is...
Bloop. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it only 4? Because they're all young.
Dude, I saw a list of them, and I was like, I don't even know who these other 3 people are. But I remember McKibben, because I think we talked
about it. It was the first
year. We talked about her a lot.
Everyone watched it, too. They had 30 million viewers that year.
But she was also on the greatest season of Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew ever.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You know,
yeah. She was in Sober House too.
Or maybe that is that what I'm thinking of? Was it Sober House?
No, she was
House?
On both. She was on both.
That's the one with Steven Adler. She was in Adler's season. Let me see if I can.
It doesn't get any better.
I mean, that was
there has the been Allison, 7.
The Allison Chains guy was in there too, I think.
Mike Starr?
Yeah, he
Mike
was.
Starr.
Oh my God, was he out of it?
Listen to this. That's also the episode with Jeff Conaway, who was a total disaster from Greece.
Total disaster.
Rodney King.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember the open where he's throwing up outside of the car on his way to rehab? Yes. Tony Contain was in that one. And Sean Stewart, Rod's son, was in that one. And Gary Busey. And the funny thing about Gary Busey on there was nobody told Gary Busey that he was going to rehab. Busey thought he was going to rehab to, like,
to help the other people.
To be a doctor.
I know. So weird. That was bizarre. And the whole time they're like, somehow we've got to get Gary to realize that he's in rehab for a reason. But he just seems to think he's helping. And he would do those crazy those anagrams.
Yeah, no.
It was so weird.
They're called Buseyisms.
Well, I love those.
He put out a book.
Did he really?
Yeah, Buseyisms.
I love, can we play something where he does one of those? Because they're just awesome.
Sure, I'll look for something.
It seems like they come off the top of his head.
Well, they probably do.
From the car accident, like a part of his brain got stimulated from the head injury?
And it just comes up with Buseyism?
It seems like it, doesn't it?
I love that he took, what did you call it? Is it an anagram? And just
I think it is. It's like he takes a word and then he uses the letters in order to make something else out of it.
But I like that he...
I have a hobby that's really wonderful because it helps me understand the meaning of one word with a sentence that reflects the word's meaning and definition. These are called Buseyisms because I take these from my own heart, my own spirit, my own soul, and make this interpretation so you can hear it and live by it. The word now, N-O-W, no other way.
What? What does that mean? What is that, the definition of now?
To ensure measured energy on using time. The word team.
What?
T-E-A-M. Together, everyone achieves more. And that's the foundation of
plagiarism.
Got the mail. Teamwork. So you can make your own Buseyisms. Just take your last name and put ism on the back of it.
Jurisms.
Like John Smith. Here's a Smithism. Like Ronald McDonald. Here's a McDonaldism. See how easy it is?
Yeah,
the point is, now have the ability to be happy with what I've given you to understand by got the mail. Everything that comes with it, everything you bring to it, everything you are with
it,
everything
that you're talking about.
Just stick to the Buseyisms, Busey.
A beautiful combination of energy and power. And there are 360 ways to see an elephant.
Wow.
If you put an elephant in the center of a circle and go around that circle 1 degree at a time,
I don't want to hear, I want this. I want more Buseyisms.
You will see that same elephant in 360 different.
The book is called Buseyisms Bible, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. His Bible. So here's some from the book, including within the introduction, he writes, fart, feeling erectile transmission. Fun. And I remember him telling us this when we interviewed him a long time. That is erectile transmission. Fun, finally understanding nothing.
I don't know if I agree with fun.
And then he says the Buseyism he cherishes the most is nuts. Never underestimate the spirit. Love, living on victorious energy.
See, they don't have to make sense.
No, they're just fun.
It's work.
Finally understanding nothing.
But anyway, Nikki McKibben, real quick, she became the seventh. You said four.
Seventh? They only said four of the top, like the finalists.
Okay, because it says Leah LaBelle from season 3 died.
Who? I don't remember her.
She had drugs and alcohol in her system. They were killing. Oh, she was killed in a car crash. Ricky Smith from season 2.
No.
Yeah, he doesn't. Either. He was killed by a drunk driver. Joanne Borgella in season 7. Season 7.
That first season.
Hey, I don't remember.
Everyone watched the first season. Yeah. Everyone did. And
Michael Johns.
The cool thing, Mark sent me a little clip of her the first season, and Dunkelman was on it.
Yeah.
What a great memory that was. I love Dunkelman. I mean, do we have our Dunkelmanisms?
I don't think we have Dunkelisms.
Oh, no.
Whoa, whoa. We're halfway through our Dallas auditions, and Nikki McKibben is up next.
When people walk into the room, I want them to
She's kind of white trash hot, isn't she? So,
yeah, she is, very much.
Like now, she did peck on the pounds or something.
Kind of crazy.
That's too bad. And I'm sorry she had an aneurysm. I mean, it wasn't her fault she died.
Wow. What's your name?
Nikki McKibben.
Nikki, what are you going to sing for?
I think she looks good there.
She does.
What am I going to sing? I forgot the name of the song.
You forgot what you're going to sing?
No, I forgot the name of the song.
Is it the One Moment?
One Moment in Time.
Remember when the show was good because they would actually rip on people? But
yeah, it was better that
You're not allowed to rip on them anymore.
I know.
No,
because it's bullying.
Should we call Sanjaya's dad?
Yeah, we should. Seriously, I think we should. He's a nice guy, and he would want to eulogize Nicky McKibben.
He's probably watching the Seahawks right now, so we know he's home.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's how the game's going, too. And I love where Sanjaya is.
Mr. Malikar.
We can say that we wanted Sanjaya to eulogize her, but in his absence, he can.
And other music news, too. I don't know if you saw the new Phil Collins wife story.
Yes.
It is hilarious.
Oh, my God. What was Phil Collins doing forward. With her? You mean the mistress guy that she was paying for sex?
True.
Marry people 30 years younger than you. It's stupid. It's embarrassing.
You have to read the story when you get to it, because I was in tears reading it. I'm like, this is perfect.
Oh, it's pathetic. Yeah, it's from stripper Preston Thompson, who she paid for sex. And then he just liked banging her, so they start having an affair.
But some of his quotes...
Yeah.
It just sounds like a total meathead.
Well, he's an escort. How smart is he going to be?
Didn't their first night sound very romantic?
Yeah, real. Real romantic.
Especially when she came out with a cane.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Poor Phil. I felt sorry for Phil. He's fighting.
Oh, he was done banging her a long time
ago. I know, but he was still mad because they got back together. She blew all his money. And then she's like, I think I want to be with you again. And then the next thing you know, she's having a fling. She's buying sex from escorts. And then she's blowing his money all over the place. And then she's staying at this $20 million home. And then he finds out that she married someone else.
Well, so she's banging this escort. And I think he tells the story in there. But she's banging this escort and takes him to a Phil Collins show. And introduces him as her friend. Which the guy's
did he
like,
sing In the Air Tonight to him?
Of course. But he's like, I could tell Phil knew, is what he said. So after
Phil was
they
probably
break
delighted
up,
to me. Oh, man, thank you so much.
After they break up, I texted Phil because I thought he should know that his wife's up to no good. Like, what? And, of course, he didn't get a reply from Phil Collins. It's like, nice letting him know once you were done banging
what
his
a
wife.
Dick.
Oh, the guy sounds like
he took
such
Phil's
a
money.
Dolt. He got a dune buggy out of it.
Did he return the money to Phil?
Of course not. Read the story.
Phil Collins' ex-wife. Oh, you know what? I got to do something else first. Let's call Sanjaya's dad. I think that's important to get her eulogized properly by someone who would like to do it. As we step into the fall, the team at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event. As you can imagine, it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered. Starting with that 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. How about the 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk? Four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, you can lease the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188. And if it's pure performance in an SUV that drives like a sports car, of course, it's the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And you know the game. No Zot spot complete without Jeep Wrangler, which they do have, and you can get them to your specs, unlike so many other places. So get details, surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And while we love Gabara and Zot Ford, if you are looking for something that Jeep Dodge Ram has, be sure to go over there and make some noise. And we always get credit for that, too. And they do appreciate our listeners. Dr. Yaldo now has the office on Rochester Road, just north of M59 in Rochester, their third location. And they're offering $1,500 off the regular price. If you're interested in custom topography-guided LASIK, the most precise in the world, you can throw away your contacts and glasses. You can save money yearly without those stupid appointments where they just go, yeah, you're the same. And you get that dumb glaucoma test. Although I guess you should get that. Do people get glaucoma tests if they don't go to the optometrist?
Oh, no. Aren't they the ones to do it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, does that
shoot
mean that everyone?
Air, they
everyone,
shoot the air into your eye?
How many people go to the optometrist every year?
Yeah, it's probably not unless your vision is starting to crap out.
Which, I mean, mine seems like it's the same.
Mine's starting to crap out.
And multifocal lens replacements, if you're 45 or over, will have you seeing small print and everything for as long as you live. Drew and Mike listeners are now getting $1,500 off the regular price. If you bring a friend, you'll get an additional half-off surgery. If they decide to jump in the chair and just get crazy and have surgery, get a free evaluation. Call 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. And again, they're in Rochester now. So Sanjaya's dad, he's been giving some rare interviews about Nikki McKibben. None that I've
Mr.
heard yet.
Mr. Malachar is the best.
He is pretty cool.
Really our only connection to Idol.
At this point, yes. Do we have a number for Dunkelman? We had him on a couple times.
We did, but he hasn't answered in a long, long time.
Hello?
Oh, Mr. Malachar.
Hey.
Yes?
Hey, it's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit. I don't suppose, is Sanjaya, is he there right now?
No, he's in Montana.
Still in Montana.
Oh, he's in Montana.
With your daughter, right? Yeah.
And you guys have his number?
Yeah.
I think he might have changed it. I don't know.
No, same numbers. He got that numbers for almost 7 years now.
Oh, I think I lost it. That's what it was.
Oh. Well, that's weird. Yeah, because we heard he was going to be there. But you're probably watching the Seahawks game, aren't you?
I don't.
You don't watch it?
No.
Mr. Malachar, I don't know if you heard, but Nikki McKibben, who was on the first season of American Idol, she passed away over the weekend. Were you aware of Nikki?
Yeah, Sanjay called me. Told me. That's a sorry to hear that.
Very sad. Yeah, she was a lovely young lady. In fact, did you have something personal you could say about her to just sort of help us eulogize her? That's why we're trying to get.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for her gone, because she's a very great lady. She was talented.
She was very.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we understand she and Sanjaya knew each other pretty well.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's wonderful.
Did they tour together?
He was mentioned that to me.
That's so sad. She was 42, and she had a couple kids, and she was delightful on American Idol, and I'm glad that she and Sanjaya got to know each other.
Yeah, she was in Bay Area for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I meet with her one time. A long time before, when I used to live in L.A.
Yeah.
In Venice Beach.
Yeah. Oh, you lived in Venice Beach?
Yeah, and I used to live in a Hare Krishna devotee,
nice
in a temple. Hare
yeah.
Krishna temple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Hare Krishna devotee, so.
Oh, that's wild. Venice Beach, that's a wild place, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, those must have been the good old days.
I know, that was 1979.
Wow.
It was a hippie time.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Don't you picture him like Fletch when Fletch was out on the beach roller skating around? Oh, you've seen Fletch, Mr. Malachar. Have you seen that movie Fletch?
I know. It's a hippie, Fletch, and everything's on there on the beach.
Yeah, a lot of good-looking girls on the beach back then, right?
Yeah, that's all the.
Yeah.
All the blonde.
Yeah, I think Mr. Malachar used to roller skate by there.
No, I wasn't. I was chanting Hare Krishna.
Wait, I don't know if I think you're being serious.
Trying to steal my books, man. Collecting books. Money from the hippie.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
That's great.
Yeah,
trying to get
I know.
By. Life's tough, man. Well,
well,
listen. Thank you so much for your comments about Nikki, and we'll try and reach Sanjaya at the other number.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you
appreciate
so much.
Have
appreciate
a great night,
that. And I'm sure her family will
bye-bye.
Too. Bye bye. See, he was good for it. He was totally cool.
He never fails, man.
We should have had him eulogize Sean Connery while we were in.
Oh, well, let's call him back. I'm kidding.
I don't know if he ever met Sean Connery, although. Venice Beach, you never know. I might have run into Sean Connery back in the day.
Oh, boy, Sean Connery. They were calling him the last movie star. I'm not sure why. This seems a little dramatic to me.
Come on, Harrison Ford would be the last movie star, wouldn't he? Or Brad Pitt?
I kind of think so. But Sean Connery was, it was different in that you just didn't get exposure to these people except in the movies. And the occasional interview, but... You know, now we just know everything about everyone. It's so different. And Sean Connery, I'm surprised he's not canceled, by the way, because, you know, when they mentioned one of the stories I read about him, and I remember this now.
Yeah, but people like him, so.
He did his Playboy interview where he said, "It's okay to hit a woman with an open hand."
Really?
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
Well, he also
and it was mildly controversial at the time.
Wait a sec. Your tuning to get his impersonation down was always what he said about Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts' armpit hair. Wait, what did he say?
Pubic. Her pubic hair. It was something about her pubic
hair. Her underarms look like pubic hair.
But he liked it, didn't he?
I don't think he did.
Oh.
I don't think he was really a very progressive kind of person. I don't know.
But he was Bond. Oh, that's probably why he wasn't.
It's okay to hit a woman with an open hand. That's terrible.
You're canceled, Connery.
Martini, shaken, not stirred.
I swear to God, I'm surprised that someone doesn't say that he should be canceled. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's only right.
I'll give it 30 years.
But, yeah, he stopped doing Bond in 71, which or 72. I thought he did more. He did come back for something in 83. There was a Bond movie. He came back, and I guess he had a role in it. I don't know if he was James Bond.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I read that today.
Coming back?
He appeared
and
in
a Never Say Never Again?
Yeah, 83. That's what it was. But was he James Bond in that movie?
Yeah.
He was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't forget, he was Indiana Jones' pops.
Yeah, in The Last Crusade.
It was a huge movie.
Untouchables, you got an Oscar for that. Supporting actor?
Yeah, I'm just looking.
Yeah, he's still forgetting the biggest movie.
Oh, if you, say Red October. If you say The Rock, I'm kicking you off of Zoom.
The Hunt for Red October. I'm on The Hunt for Red October.
Were you going to say The Rock?
The Rock.
Welcome to The Rock. Hell yeah, it's the best. That is the best Sean Connery movie.
Oh,
that...
come on.
Welcome to The Rock.
Wait, did he say, he did say, welcome to The Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to The Rock.
Oh, care to guess absolutely ridiculous.
Care to guess what The Rock got on Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm going to say 77.
66.
Okay.
From critics. Let's see what the
fans 66
like.
Of the coolest fucking critics on the planet.
85 from the audience.
Yeah, I was thinking the audience would give it a 70.
It's not a bad movie, but Brandon acts like it's the greatest
movie ever. What are you talking about?
Between
The Rock and Con Air, I mean, those are two of the greatest action movies possibly ever, both starring Nick Cage.
Is The Rock, is that about that prison in
Alcatraz.
On the island?
Alcatraz.
Yeah, Alcatraz. Which, by the way, Alcatraz stories I think are fascinating.
Yep, me too.
I don't remember liking that movie, though. What's the plot?
The Pentagon assigns a team comprising of an FBI chemist, a former SAS captain, and a team of SEALs to break into Alcatraz, where a group of rogue U.S. Force Recon Marines have seized...
Led by Ed Harris?
...seized all the tourists on the island and have threatened to launch nerve gas-filled rockets upon San Francisco.
That would be sarin gas.
Unless Washington pays $100 million to
the next... Don't give up the ending. Don't spoil it.
Oh,
I might want to watch it tonight.
Oh, no, you definitely want to watch it. In fact, Michael Bane's in it, dude.
Michael Bane or Kane?
Bane.
Who's Michael Bane?
Oh, my God. He was in Terminator.
Who'd you play in Terminator?
Christ. Jesus Christ. The main character.
He was the Terminator?
No, that was the secondary character.
I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger was the main character.
No, he was the antagonist.
The Terminator?
He played Kyle Reese. Come on. He ends up nailing Linda Hamilton.
Hot.
Yeah. Come on. You should watch The Rock. I guarantee you'll love it.
I think The Rock would be perfect for a Cliff Notes theater, to tell you the truth.
It seems like a good Sunday night movie.
Quick fact on Sean Connery. Like, he got offered the role of Gandalf in all those Lord of the Rings movies. To the point where they like offered him
a percentage.
I'm going
to play Gandalf.
They offered him like a percentage of, you know, the total gross.
They're giving me a percentage for Gandalf.
And he didn't understand it or something like that. He turned it down, and of course...
I don't understand it. I'm going to turn it down.
Yes. He lost that, like, they said he would have made $450 million off his role.
I lost a lot of money. I'm happy about it.
Instead, it went to Ian McKellen.
Here's one of my favorite stupid...
Ian McKellen did a shit job.
Here's one of my favorite stupid Sean Connery scenes of all time. Can you see it there on the...
Yes.
Do you remember the Presidio? Do you remember the stupid scene?
I don't, but I remember the movie.
He's in a bar sitting next to Mark Harmon. This guy's picking on him.
What is that smell anyway? Mothballs?
Because he's old, get it? This bald-headed guy's
in uniform.
Being very mean. Ooh, he put a cigar out in his coffee.
What do I do now, Major?
Very cool, calm, and collected.
Now, are you sure you want to have a fight? Because I'm only going to use my thumb.
Thumb?
My right thumb.
Does this ring a bell at all?
Much too powerful for you.
Ooh. Poked him in the eye. He poked him in the back with his thumb.
That was cool.
Guys, keep it fair.
Mark Harmon pulls out his gun. Just for him and misses.
Wait, he's just using his thumb. He's
just using his thumb. That's how badass he is. He dodges and pushes him with his thumb.
Oh, why is he taking out on that guy?
Now he's punching him with his thumb. The reason I remember this scene so well is my brother used to come up to me and go, I'm going to beat you with my thumb. And I'm 12. I think he's 15, and he just would poke me with his thumb. Now he tripped the big guy.
This guy, why does this guy think he's so tough? He's the worst fighter I've ever seen.
The big guy?
Yeah.
Because he's big and bald, and he's younger than Sean Connery was.
Little O'Cleaves, they're silver. That means that I'm a lieutenant colonel. If they were gold, then I'd be a major. You understand?
Yes, sir.
That's good. Because the next time you see an
is
officer...
Is that the little finger, isn't it?
My brother used to do that to me, too, with the thumb right on the neck.
Ooh.
So stupid. That movie was powerful.
The sad thing is, like, his last real role in 2003 was The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which...
Yeah, wasn't that a disappointment?
I watched it probably 8 or 9 times. Sometimes I like it, most times I don't. I don't think critics liked it either.
What? Sometimes you like it, sometimes you don't? It's the same movie.
I mean, it's okay to have for background action and adventure, but I don't think it did very good on Rotten Tomatoes at all.
I just remember there being like a big excitement for that movie, and it was kind of a...
It had a big budget.
Yeah.
It was just kind of womp, womp.
Well,
and yes, 17% on the thermometer and 44% from the audience.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yikes.
All right,
praise Alan Quatermain. And then one final thing. Daryl Hammond posted this.
That said, let's take a look at the scores. Sean Connery has set a new Jeopardy record with negative $230,000.
Such a great bit.
You think you're pretty smart, don't you, Trebek? What with your Dago mustache and your greasy hair?
Look, what did I just say about ethnic slurs? This is the sound a doggy makes. Mr. Connery.
Moo.
No.
Well, that's the sound your mother made last night.
Okay, that's not necessary. We would have accepted Bow Wow or Ruff.
Oh, Ruff. Just the way your mother likes it, Trebek.
And you know how great it wasn't that funny, well, was it?
Well, how great is Will Ferrell at the fact that he doesn't break, you know, when everybody goes crazy? Nowadays, if you watch SNL, they just would start laughing.
Yeah.
Although that one, did you watch it this weekend, SNL?
I watched like the first 15 minutes and I was like, oh, God, I don't know.
Oh, really?
I want to see the Strokes, and then I watched the Strokes, one song.
Oh, wow.
I saw Jim Carrey, and I saw the...
That was dumb.
Who was the host?
John Mulaney. I love John Mulaney. You don't like Mulaney?
Is he the go-to host?
I liked him better last time he was on SNL. He was okay.
Yeah. For those that don't know,
He did have a funny bit about how on Tuesday we're going to vote for two really old men,
yeah,
and whoever gets the most votes is our favorite old man, and whatever that whole thing was, because it was funny. Because we are just voting for two old men. It's so crazy that these old men are the two best people to run the country. I mean, isn't it really insane?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Did you like the Headless Horseman sketch?
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sick of the election and all of that stuff. I don't know why it's just making me... I can't wait till it's over, if that ever happens. And I'm one of these people that whoever's elected the president is my president. I admit that they are my president, not because I respect them so much, but it's just that they just are the president.
Yeah.
Is the way I look at it, and I'm not going to get all bent out of shape.
So
I would like everything to just quiet down. That would be really nice if everybody could like stop being the way they're being.
The joke of the Headless Horseman sketch is he shows up and talks to Ichabod Crane. And Ichabod, of course, wants to know, like, so do you ever use that head for, you know, because he's got a detached head?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of, but it's not just that joke, the way they take it and the things they do with it, I thought was really funny.
I might watch the rest of it later. I was just getting ready to come down for the show, and I don't know why. I just wasn't in the mood for it. But maybe Jim Carrey must have ruined me. And I think he's a good Biden, actually. Overreaction is not the strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. Call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Now is a really good time. And after the election, by the way, when there's a clear view of what's ahead, that might be a good time to start a financial plan or to get help with the one you have and to look at where you are invested and see if maybe there's somewhere else you should be now or in 6 months or in 6 years, or if you want to start a college savings plan, which people do, even sometimes when the kids are 10, they realize, you should probably do something about this to help. Pension funds. Get advice. Get a strategy. Call Luke Nowacki, Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services.
Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of
Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
I apologize for the delay. I was responding to a very well-known journalist in this town regarding something.
Oh, yes. Oh, we'll get to that. Are you man facing divorce? You need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Men, call Adam, 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. They've been dealing with your issues for a long time, over 30 years. It pissed me off that this story is even out, because first of all, it's going to piss me off if it's true. And second of all, it pisses me off that it's even a dumb story again if it's not true.
I think it pissed him off a little more.
Is it true?
Well, so
the rumor is that Kwame Kilpatrick is getting out.
Yeah, Fox 2 is reporting that they have word from, and this is the same
person. Hell yeah.
The same person that gave them word before. What?
Well, she was wrong last time.
She was absolutely wrong.
Why wouldn't the president announce it if the idea is to win Michigan by letting Kwame out, which isn't going to win Michigan, by the way?
Yeah, and then Sam Riddle. I wish I had her name. Do you remember her name, Brandon?
No,
but Sam Riddle said...
Karen Witsel.
Yeah, Karen Witsel.
Said
that Kwame will be out starting tomorrow, and she's going to be on Sam Riddle's morning show from 9 to 11 tomorrow to talk about it. And immediately everyone...
Again?
Yeah.
If I were her, I would just bury myself. So I wouldn't say a word about it.
All I'll say regarding my conversations with ML is, he goes, just look at what I tweeted, and all he tweeted was, I won't get fooled again, by The Who. He wrote, yes, I've heard it too, and probably before you.
Okay. Yeah, because now a lot of people have to chase this down and see if it's true by talking to sources that would know, who could actually verify it, instead of someone who's saying it's true.
So I asked him.
Who normally releases this information? Not just somebody. Not her.
Exactly. I wouldn't believe it until, you know, the White House.
He was fussy about believing it before, when it seemed that everyone was saying it was true. I was saying, I don't know if this is true yet, because my sources won't tell me if it's true.
Well, he said, I'd rather, once again, he texted, said, I'd rather be right than first, and there's no official confirmation from anyone that he can track down. I think LaDuff said the same thing to people he knows. Nobody will confirm it, or they don't know where it's coming from.
Doesn't it get embarrassing to say that it's true and then be wrong again?
I think so.
That was humiliating the first time. That was a huge story over a weekend, and people were acting like it happened for 4 days.
I will say, I feel like it's being played a little differently this time. Now it's like, this person is telling us at Fox 2. Which, a little irresponsible, in my opinion.
Why not you just wait until you know it's true?
Gotta be first, baby.
Can anybody ever do that?
Damn that.
Gotta be first.
But isn't being wrong, doesn't that hurt someone?
See, now they're not wrong, because now they're saying, well, this person's telling us this.
Well, they're doing what a lot of media has been doing. You know, well, they report that Trump paid $750 in taxes. And so, you know, we believe it. And I don't think anybody felt they had to track down what the New York Times said. Did they? I mean, did people independently discover what the New York Times discovered? I don't think so.
No, which is why they always said the New York Times reports that, blah, 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 blah.
Right. But, well, it's a little different with
the failing New York Times.
because Tony Bobulinski, doesn't matter what he says. Nobody. So there are certain people that just will not report it.
Did you see the big NBC story on why they wouldn't report it?
Yeah, I did.
It's really fascinating. They can't. Nobody will let them see the hard drives or see. They asked Giuliani to do an interview. They asked Tony Bobulinski to do an interview, and he said no. Tony Bobulinski turned NBC down.
I mean, I would be embarrassed.
Giuliani turned him down,
too. I have to tell you something. I would be embarrassed to say why I can't report something, because that means that you're not getting to the bottom of it. To report that, yeah, this story's unreportable. That's embarrassing, I think. That's weird.
Well, no,
who does that?
I think they want to do their own reporting, but they're not being provided, A, interviews, or B, the materials to look them over themselves.
Do they do that for every story? I don't think so.
Well, they did it for this story, and which is why they don't want to report it.
No, I mean, they've reported a million stories where they didn't do that, where they didn't independently go, oh, now we can report it because we know it's true. Because they probably couldn't get the people who told them that Trump paid $750 in taxes. They probably wouldn't have access to that source.
What do you mean? Well, which is why, once again, they say the New York Times. I guess if you wanted them to say the New York Post is reporting that, blah, 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 blah.
Well, they could say the Daily Mail is reporting it, too, because the Daily Mail has all of it yesterday and today. Did you read the Daily Mail story, Brandon? About Hunter's...
I've seen so many different ones. I really have. There's so much, like every day there's a new one that has different photos and
there's a new story today messages. About his password being Hunter02.
O2, yes.
Yeah, and that all these people's phone numbers are on there. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden's mobile phones, Secret Service agents, cabinet members, and all of it was not encrypted, and it was a very simple password that they didn't have much trouble.
Devil's advocate, don't you think there's probably people that have those phone numbers that are just aren't very encrypted either?
I have no idea.
He's just loser Hunter Biden. He's not, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton or anything like that.
Well, I think the point of the story was that his password was very simple to figure out.
And we heard the story that Trump's was what, MAGA 2020?
Yeah, and what was the other
even
one?
Even though I don't know how that could be true, because I figured somebody would hack it immediately. But who knows?
Well, that reminds me. I'm going to hold off on Phil Collins for a minute, because this is a good point to... I saw this great story on... Oh, God damn it. American Greed.
It's a great show.
It is a really good show. I can sit there and watch him over and over. And it was a story about Claudio Asario, who started this low... First of all, he had this company in the late 80s, early 90s that inflated its value dramatically, sold all this stock. Then they were busted for lying in their financial reports, and their stock went way down, and they eventually went bankrupt. And for some reason, he came out of it okay, even though it was his company. He should not have come out of it okay, but he did. He blamed it on the CFO and in Europe, which was just kind of crazy. So then he starts this thing called Innovida, which is low-cost housing. I think the housing is made out of fiberglass or something. It's like what boats are made out of. And said it was great for weather. And, you do it cheap. And then they started building these factories, allegedly. And then when the Haiti earthquake came...
Oh, boy.
He flew on a private jet to Haiti with all these people and said, we're going to build 1,000 houses with this low-cost thing.
Who does he think he is, Brad Pitt?
Yeah, he does. And he got a $10 million government grant to build 1,000 houses, which...
drop in the bucket, yeah.
Well, $10 million actually divided by 1,000, that's like $10,000 a house. I mean, that's not even that low cost for Haiti. So... he's getting all these people to invest in this company, and none of them, by the way, have audited financial information. They have financial information, but it says on the top, unaudited, I believe, unaudited financial sheet. And he gets all these people like Carlos Boozer and Alonzo Mourning. you can't believe all the rando people that and they also showed, it's Claudio's 50th birthday party, and they on American Greed they show the videotape that was made like, hey Claudio, this is Carlos Boozer, and happy birthday, man, and all these people, big people, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, He gave $50,000 to Barack Obama. So, of course, he has a picture with Barack Obama and on and on and on. Well, it turns out that it's a total scam. The millions, the government millions, Carlos Boozer's millions, Alonzo Mourning's millions, everyone's millions went to pay for his high-flying lifestyle. That's all. Haiti got no houses. None. Not one.
Nice plan.
Not one house. And the reason that all these people invested money, and in many cases, millions of dollars, and he supposedly had a factory in Angola, and he had a factory here. I know. Oh, total bullshit. And, gee, he also had this big house.
Well, a lot of people are building factories in Angola, so why wouldn't you believe
it? No, he said he had
factory place?
A $200 million business coming out of China. And how are you going to check on that?
Yeah, that's a little more believable.
So why would all these people fall for this after his first pile of bullshit from the late 80s and early 90s? When, I mean, that was a big-ass company, and it just came tumbling down all in a pile of financial lies because they weren't making money. And that people have been led to believe they were making money. So they're buying stock, and it turns out the stock loses all its value, and they go out of business, and so on and so forth. So with Innovita, it's like there should have been all the suspicion up front, except that a lot of people invested money because he hired Jeb Bush to be on the board of directors, and Jeb Bush was paid $15,000 a month, and he took consulting fees, too. So people said, oh, well, Jeb Bush is watching over this, and Jeb Bush has put his name on the line. So
Jeb
therefore,
Bush is a low-energy person.
He looked low-energy in all the pictures.
I also happen to call him a lightweight.
So everyone's in a picture with Jeb Bush, too. And
they always look so stupid in those pictures,
and
too.
I know. And people said, well, I saw Jeb Bush was at the event. He was talking it up. He was on the board of directors. I figure, surely he's vetted it.
Well, it's like with Theranos, who was the Reagan secretary?
George Shultz. Yeah, and Henry Kissinger. Right. But those people are just taking a paycheck.
I know.
They are. It's total bullshit.
Oh, God.
So, you know, as they pointed out, Jeb Bush is on a number of other boards, making a bundle of money and contributing virtually nothing, just probably a lot like Hunter Biden was at Burisma. And you know what killed me about this?
I feel like that happens in everybody high political positions. They all end up on those boards. They all end up.
Why does their name mean anything, though? They don't do the work. They don't do shit.
Because they have connections.
Chelsea Clinton makes, I think it's $3 million a year on corporate boards.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Total fucking bullshit. And all of them are people that want something from Bill or Hillary Clinton. So, I mean,
she serves on the board of the School of American Ballet and the IAC. What is that? Anybody know what the IAC is?
I have no idea.
That board, too.
And you know what pissed me off is they said in the story, oh, well, Jeb, he returned the money. Well, so I start reading about it after as I'm looking it up and I'm seeing that, no, he didn't return all the money. He returned $250,000 out of $460,000. So he kept $210,000.
Wow. I mean, that's because he already paid that in taxes.
I guess those are his consulting fees.
Well, no, maybe he probably
consulting,
had to pay
he let him pay for the consulting, but not for the board fees.
You don't think he had to pay taxes on the money, and so that money was already gone?
So what? He cost people so much money because they saw that the Bush name was involved, which is why people want to buy names like Bush.
Or Hunter Biden.
Yeah, or Hunter Biden. So he doesn't do anything. I mean, some people actually do things for money, and some people try to get money for not doing things.
That's
and
hilarious.
Jeb Bush did it, too. So, yeah, it was pathetic. I swear, the more I read about it, the angrier I got, because the people that lost money were people that don't have big fancy names. And Jeb Bush, as well as Claudio Osorio and other people that were involved in this, they went after people who were well-meaning people who were interested in helping Haiti and the low-income areas that they were trying to. I mean, they suggested that this was something they're doing for people, and it attracted a lot of people who were, you know, like-minded in terms of doing stuff like that. And then when it's like, well, you know, why don't you invest your own money in it just to put your money where your mouth is, Carlos?
Nothing brings out the scammers like a big event like, you know, Haiti's earthquake.
It was just
9/11 or
it's sick.
COVID.
It's just sick.
There's another interesting story about a scammer who. This is kind of a true crime. What happened to Claudio Osorio? Is he?
He's in prison for 12 years. His wife did not go to prison, and she was involved.
So how much money they have hidden elsewhere?
You know, that's a good question. And I got to look up his wife because she got busted when they were liquidating all his shit, like his house on Star Island, which he did have $7 million of equity, which was everyone else's money, not his.
Asshole.
I know. And then they got to her, and they're like, that ring you've been showing off, we're going to take that. And she said, oh, no, no, it's cubic zirconium. And a friend gave it to me. It has nothing to do with Claudio. So they said, we'll figure that out for ourselves. If it is, we'll give it back to you. So it's a real diamond. It was worth The diamond itself was worth $50,000.
Really?
Yeah. She lied. She tried to keep it. Bitch.
So did they get it from her?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay, good. She looks like she's currently a real estate agent in Florida.
Oh, one good for her.
Her phone number's on her. You probably call her. But she only has one star.
Really?
One star reviews.
Probably people saw American Greed.
Yeah, and gave her one star.
Can you read some of the reviews?
You know, it's just on Realtor.com. You guess you can rate them. She's, I don't see any reviews.
I'm willing to bet my life she remarried a rich guy. I don't know why. She's pretty hot, by the way.
Still using that same name if this is the same Amaryllis Osorio.
Yeah, that's her. She's pretty hot.
You know, there's no picture of her.
Why is it that rich guys and fake rich guys all have hot babes? I mean, fake rich guys do, too. That's why they're fake rich guys.
Because the money's still flowing in. So there's another story. This one's out of Canada. And this guy, 3 years ago, they found this guy shot dead in this burnt-out SUV in British Columbia. And they didn't know who he was. They had no idea. And they finally have identified him as Davis Wolfgang Hawk, who is a racist neo-Nazi spammer. He was one of the first guys to send spam emails out to people.
Oh,
and he's been on the run for years. So they didn't know who he
no
is.
No relation.
And it took a guy who's writing a book called Spam Kings, which I think would be really fascinating, to track him down. And he said he often traveled with half wolf dogs. Like he had those dogs that were half wolf, half dog.
Ooh.
he said, he was born Andrew Britt Greenbaum. Changed his name many times as evasive when the journalist was trying to chase him down for a story on his junk email. He said Hawk and his associates bragged about making up to $300,000 a year in the spam business. So when everybody got all those emails for things, this was the guy behind all that. I think he ended up making close to like $13 million off of it. He was born Jewish and then somehow became a neo-Nazi. He just became infatuated with white supremacy. He organized a failed anti-government march in Washington, D.C. in 1999. Later, he used his writing talents to trick people into sending him cash, and his spam email venture took off. He felt he could convince anybody to buy herbal Viagra, just writing some clever email texts. The guy was super intelligent. Thought there was a sucker born every minute, and he was really good at finding him. In 2005, AOL sued him and won a $12.8 million judgment in federal court because he was breaking federal law by sending these massive amounts of unwanted spam emails. AOL won a court order. This is crazy. Won a court order to dig up two properties that he owned because he bragged that he buried gold and platinum in the yards. And they decided, AOL decided, you know what, we're not going to dig him up because his family, his grandparents and his parents lived on the property. So they didn't want to upend their life. And they never heard from this guy again, the family. They like tapped their phones and tried to track him down.
Really?
He just disappeared and apparently spent all his time kind of traveling around Canada. And he would jump on boats and go down to South America, Belize and Central America. And just stay away from the U.S. and just live this weird nomadic life because he didn't want to get caught by the feds. But he was murdered. And they don't know who murdered him or why or what happened. But you figure somebody finally tracked him down.
Wow.
Isn't that a crazy story? I want to get that book.
Why? What was the? Who would be the main suspects in terms of murdering? What would be the M.O. of the person that killed him?
It's a great question.
I mean, could it be that he did something new?
I was just going to say, I bet you it's somebody.
He seems like that type.
Somebody he wronged over, I would think, fairly recently. Because the people that really wanted to track him down were, I would guess, AOL. to get their money back or their judgment, but I think most people have probably forgotten about him.
Are you saying AOL hired a hitman to
yes,
take him out?
That's exactly, yep. And it worked. They didn't know.
Not good for AOL.
It took 3 years to identify the guy because he changed his name so much. Brandon, you have breaking news. You just texted it to me.
Oh, well, no, I don't know.
Well, I think it should be mentioned. Brandon said that Fox 2 took down that Kwame story.
They did?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So it's tweeted out.
But, I mean, a lot of people are still popping off about it. So I don't know how much that goes.
What's the point of popping off about it when you don't? It's like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. But, you know, they want to go with it right away.
It's frustrating to me, too, because I don't want it to be true, because I don't like Kwame, and I don't think he deserves to be out yet. I told ML this, and he argues with me, that I thought 28 years was too long. I just didn't feel like, there's people that murder. There's a guy who was a double murderer who got out in 16 years.
Well, that's
it seems like if you murder two people, you would be in prison longer than someone who stole as much money. And not that I'm not saying it's not a big deal.
Well, that shouldn't happen either. And ML always says, he goes, how many people were affected by each one?
Yeah, but when you terminate someone's life, that's really, I mean, your life's over.
Well, Kwame ruined a lot of people's lives. Cost the city a lot of money.
I'm not pensioned. Like I said, I don't think it's a small crime, but I just feel like when you take a gun and you end someone's life, two people, well, of course, he did murder two people more after the 16 years. And, you know, the thing about Osorio, the guy in American Greed, and Kwame Kilpatrick is I feel very confident that they will start separating people from their money again.
Yeah.
This guy, Claudio Osorio, well, he was absolutely had no remorse whatsoever. In the deposition, he was such a fucking liar, you know. Why didn't you know this? Oh, I don't know. I probably didn't understand. Well, you don't understand how to read a bank statement? No. Do you think you have to be an expert of some kind to read a bank statement? Yes, I do. Well, it was just impossible.
I mean, Kwame should get more time than him for stealing money because he's a public official.
Yeah, I mean, people would debate that.
It's got to be a big punitive penalty, man.
Public officials seem to get off pretty light a lot of times. I mean, I think they should. They should not, but they do.
Their penalty should be harsher.
Well, Phil Collins' ex-wife, Oriane Seavey, allegedly engaged in a 14-month affair with stripper Preston Thompson, 29 years old, introduced him to the Genesis frontman moments before he took the stage. Thomas Thompson claims he was introduced to Phil as just her friend when he attended the singer's Not Dead Yet tour in Las Vegas in October 2019. I was introduced to Phil. We shook hands. It was awkward. I feel that he maybe knew. I asked her about it, and she said, I didn't want to cause any problems backstage, but he's about to go on for a show. I told him you're my friend, but he knows about us. Oh, great.
Fake!
Why would you want to introduce them? Dumb fuck. I think she was trying to impress the stripper. Don't you think she was?
I know Phil Collins. We can go backstage and see the show.
I don't think this guy really cared that much.
I pay you with his money.
But she thought it was a big deal because she's used to being Phil Collins' wife and what a big deal that is.
She just wanted Phil to know that she's getting nailed by this stud because he's way younger than her.
Thompson claims CB hired him via an escort agency in March of 2019 and the 46-year-old lavished him with a host of luxuries throughout their relationship, according to The Sun. She was married to Collins, 69, from 94 till their divorce in 2008, but the pair rekindled. She ran out of money in 2016, so she moved back into the home they once shared. Why did he take her back? According to Thompson, CV arranged to meet him at the 5-star Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas after finding him through his company, Fantasy Date.
We hit it off right away. I was introduced to Oriane by her assistants up in a double master suite overlooking the city and was told she'd been married to Phil Collins. Wow, I get to fuck somebody with Phil Collins. How about that?
I was just going to say, is that a big selling point?
I don't know why, except you know her money's good.
Yeah, it's not like Phil is hung or anything.
We hit it off right away. I was introduced to Oriane by her assistants. I said that. She had a cane in her hand. She wasn't able to walk very well because she'd had surgery and she was in rehab.
Hot.
He claimed that he and CV ordered drinks and room service and ended up staying the night with her, which led to the pair having sex.
Old bag with old bag did it.
She paid a couple of thousand for the companionship that night, but didn't pay me for the sex because my time was over.
So he gave her a little bonus.
She's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old.
After the Vegas rendezvous, CB and Thompson, who's based in Las Vegas, entered into a romantic arrangement. Thompson alleged CV often treated him to manicures and even insisted his facial hair was shaved a certain way. Oh, aren't you special?
Why is he?
Why does he want manicures? Just give me the money. Fuck the manicure,
I mean,
bitch.
There's a picture of them together. What's so special about that facial hair?
He had this little hair transplanted into his face with a laser, lasered in.
It wasn't just a sexual relationship. We actually enjoyed our time with each other.
Fake!
She would also help me out financially. Oh, I believe that. She'd tell Phil she was on business and said he didn't care.
Look, he probably didn't. Look at that picture of him.
Oh, he's not... Oh, God, this what a stupid-looking dope.
What's the name of his website?
Do you know what a beard is?
Fantasy date. Well, there's Phil with her back in the day. She looked pretty good then.
Yeah, she does look pretty good there. Well, it looks like it's about 50 pounds ago. As they grew closer, Thompson said CV began to open up to him about her relationship with her former husband, Phil, and how they weren't really together. It was just for the kids, and she was looking for her own place. She said they hadn't had sex for so long, and although it sounds really messed up, she said that he never...
Phil?
She said that he never showers. He smells.
Oh, Collins.
She added that CV wanted to have sex all the time, but that she preferred engaging in intercourse with younger people over Phil. Thompson detailed CV's affinity for gift giving to the son, claiming the former spouse of Phil Collins bought him a Mercedes G-Wagon 4x4 and a dune buggy. So they really were crazy about each other. The gifts had nothing to do with the fact that he likes his old bag.
I mean, did he want the dune buggy? Wouldn't you rather have the cash? I'm just saying.
Maybe it was either the Mercedes G-Wagon or nothing.
What a stupid present.
He also recalled going on shopping trips with Orianne where the salespeople would refer to him as Mr. Collins.
No, they didn't. That never happened.
They did not think that you were Phil Collins.
That did not happen at all.
Orianne would shower me in gifts.
Her last name wasn't even Collins, so knock it off.
No, that's bullshit. It was all Tom Ford, Dolce & Gabbana, and Dior. Shop assistants would say, oh, Mr. Collins, we've got this for you. They knew my exact measurements, he claimed to the experience. He said he and CV did a bunch of traveling to the Bahamas, Switzerland, France, and the UK. Thompson said she also took him as her date to Elton John's famous Oscars after party in Los Angeles, which he photographed and shared to his Instagram. Ooh!
Cool.
On two occasions, Thompson allegedly flew to Miami and paid a visit each time to Phil's lavish mansion while the singer was away. He said CV asked him to move into the 7-bedroom Miami home. She was like, he won't care. I have my side of the house and he has his. I've been to their house twice, but I didn't want to stay the night. He alleged that CV was so smitten with him, she proposed to him 4 times, and the first proposal occurred after just 2 months of dating. I didn't want to be known as a toy boy. I turned her down again and again. She said,
did you bang my wife?
You don't love me. You're just here for my money. Well, he's a fucking escort, you idiot. What did you expect?
I love that she's laying a guilt trip down.
I know.
On an escort.
But I asked, if I was here for your money, I'd have married you the first time you asked.
What? No.
It's not necessarily, because you'd have to be married to her.
No, it really works, my man. Think of all the other chicks he's nailing, too, by the way, thanks to Fantasy Date.
Continuing her quest to nail down her relationship with Thompson, CV purchased a home in Las Vegas for herself and Thompson to live in that cost $1.5 million. But unfortunately, CV's allegedly explosive temper led to her and Thompson's relationship coming to an end in May of this year. After ending things with CV, Thompson said he got in contact with Phil via text in an attempt to warn him about his former wife's alleged philandering. Nice to living like an escort who tattles on people. What's with this loose-lipped escort? She buys him every fucking thing. She got him a fucking Mercedes G-Wagon, you asshole.
He was done with her, though. Are you dying to see what that text said?
You should kick this dude's ass, man. Don't just sit there, man, and dump that ugly, nasty bitch right next to you, man.
And more importantly, wouldn't you love to see Phil when he got that text?
What if the text was just really long and Phil couldn't read it? It was too long.
It had to be. He had to introduce him, like, who he is, where he got the number. And I just want you to know your wife's kind of a whore, and just thought you should know, man. Bro code.
After anything's with CV... Yeah, I got in time to Phil via text. If I was in Phil's situation, I'd feel extremely disrespected. Oh, you're brilliant.
Yeah.
You are so smart.
After you nailed her for years and got a dune buggy.
Yeah, with his money.
I don't know, you know. It happened.
I think she still wants to live that rock star life, but Phil's done with that and has settled down.
Orianne's still young and wants to go out and party with good-looking guys. She's treated Phil like he's lower than dirt. She's two-faced.
She's two-faced.
I love this judgy escort. Fuck you.
Nothing worse than a judgy escort.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. What is the world coming to?
I just love that story.
He's worse than Carlos Monterez.
Doesn't she have like armed guards around their house, around Phil's house right now?
You know, there were whole kinds of stories.
Man, he looks so gaunt.
I know. I feel bad for him.
He doesn't look too good.
No, I am not a male escort.
Do you want to hear a boner line? Because it's kind of relevant to today.
Oh. Oh, no, I don't want to hear it then.
Otherwise it'll just sound a little dated if we wait.
Yeah, go ahead and play it. Get over with it.
Bonerline 151, ladies and gents.
I haven't called the Bonerline since I got sober, and I'm proud to report I have not called the Bonerline in 1 year.
Good job.
Hey, I'm going to put this on the Bonerline, even though you guys don't do this bit anymore.
Whiner.
Hi, everybody. Even though saying that means nothing, because Brandon never puts any of my shit on the borderline.
Quiet.
Not that this is going to get played or anything, because there's never any fucking boner lines anymore.
Hey, put a dick in your mouth and shut up.
I think your boner line is suffering from erectile dysfunction.
We need one of the gals to fluff him up.
There's no way that Brandon's even listening to this now at this point. But whatever.
Man up. Stop crying.
This is for Mike Clark. The Spartans!
The Spartans win!
Too bad for you, Fellhauer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, baby! The game of the century. Go green, go Clark.
Mr. Green and White.
Hey, Mark. Sorry you lost.
Not!
Can you say Rose Bowl?
Yeah,
oh my God, the roses are popping up all over the place. Pasadena, here we come.
Hey, Mark, sorry you lost.
Sorry you lost.
Mardia!
Mark, how dare you? What? That Miley Cyrus covering Nobody Else Matters?
Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to some fucking Metallica, for God's sake.
Stop knocking!
You can do both.
Hey, you guys just played Neil Young's brother Bob singing a song. By the pie, and honestly, there should be a warning before that because it was so bad. I tried to drive into numerous trees.
You seem scared, Mark, right there.
Thank God I'm driving a Ford that was, you know, adaptive cruise control and was moving me out of the way.
Are there two skid marks or just that one set of skid marks?
Otherwise, I'd be a dead man right now.
And that's the skid marks right there. You can see what she did.
Unsolved Mysteries. I hope that you guys perhaps talk about the Jack Wheeler episode.
Who's that dude?
And the woman in Oslo.
Who's that broad?
I just sort of want to hear your takes on it. Two crazy, crazy stories.
That sure is a mystery.
I finally got around to watching Too Funny to Fail, the show about the Dana Carvey show. Great drop opportunity. 55 minutes and 40 seconds. Just check it out.
Just two dudes fighting crime with some rock hard dicks.
Audio separated at birth. TJ Lang, go back to your room. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, get to the chopper.
You go back to your room. You go back to your room.
Get to the chopper!
Just calling to say that Brandon has the flattest, girliest sounding farts that he sneaks into the podcast on a consistent basis that I've ever heard. They sound like queeps.
That came from the front.
Come on, man. Put some manliness behind it. Jeez.
I got to agree with the guy that called the boner line talking about some of the drops sounding a little longer. You know, the Mandalorian effect. That warble fart does sound louder. There's like a little poof or something at the end of it that I never noticed before. And the crazy thing is, it's my fart, and I never noticed it. But I think that fart has gotten longer. It's just a really weird thing, man.
Wrong.
Hey, Brandon. I love you, but I've got a small request. Can you please stop referring to movies as flicks? Every time you say flicks, I picture you in a fedora hat with a really silly handlebar mustache and a Polaroid camera smoking American Spirits, and that's not how I want to think of you. Flicks. Just as bad as films. Stop it. Cut it out.
Used to be you give the creep show at the window a couple of bucks.
You could spend all day in there popping off. And the joy of it was that there were people popping off at the same time.
That's a boner line for you.
I love it when small particular things bother people, like flicks.
I know, that is weird.
It's really funny.
They tend to be affectations.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay, so...
One last thing on Phil Collins and the boy toy or toy boy.
Yeah.
That story mainly came from The Sun in England, and they did in the paper one of the tales of the tape. You know, where they have the information on each side.
Who has the longer reach, who weighs what, who's how tall is one.
This was Easy Lover versus Sleazy Lover. So age is 69 to 29, occupation, musician to stripper, skill, drumming, skill, getting his kicks off.
What?
Best known for In the Air Tonight. Best known for his six pack. Collects Alamo relics. You know Phil Collins collected Alamo relics?
I didn't know that.
And apparently Preston Thompson collects guns.
Ooh. Is that the tail of the tape?
Yeah, I just thought that was really stupid. Sorry.
Okay, so, you know, I get so much email and so many messages, like direct messages on Twitter, and I mean, sometimes it's almost overwhelming because so many people want to use their voice. And, you know, a lot of times it's links to things, which I love getting links. And then a lot of times it could be very frustrating because, for example, I got a long message and a short message about the same thing. One was, they're both about 538, the site. How I keep, why do you keep citing 538? Like 538 means anything. And how it's run by some super liberal guy, which I honestly did not know that.
Nate Silver. He's also a Spartan, isn't he?
But is he a super liberal guy? And does that mean he can't do
he's changing the numbers to fit his narrative?
Exactly. So. That's what I mean. Because it drives me crazy. It's like you can't do anything now without someone saying that it doesn't mean what you think it means because...
Give me another poll aggregate site, then, one that weighs them.
There are a couple.
He's a statistician.
Yeah.
Anyway, going into 92 million people have already voted, so I don't even know how much these polls mean anymore.
That's insane.
I know. It is really crazy. The New York Times today said, okay, I know, I realize what the New York Times is.
What? Times?
I'm not sure there's really much disagreement about this. They insist that with the lead Biden has in key states, that this is basically over. I mean, they didn't say that, but they kind of said that. And I was kind of amused by it because it was like, there's almost no one who will say it's over. I swear to God, my sister.
The failing New York Times.
538 kind of does.
Yeah, say it says it's over?
Well, it's.
Yeah, they do.
They give them a 10% chance.
Oh, it's down to 10?
I think that was the last one they
Where
said.
Was 538 last but, year? You know?
Well, so if you read what that flaming liberal Nate Silver writes, they they talk about the differences in polls and how Hillary's were all over the place. You know, they changed a lot, but Biden's have been pretty steady, which I guess means something. But they also point to the fact of what you just said, Drew, is that so many people have already voted, so they're not saying who will you vote for, but as you know, who did you vote for? Sure, people can be lying.
There are some interesting things that are being claimed by both the New York Times and 538, which, by the way, I could find other people who claim different things. But they're claiming that of the people who are coming out to vote now, who've never voted, mm-hmm. people that really you never took into account before, that more of them are voting for Joe Biden.
Oh, really?
That is a big differential in this. Now, I mean, I think they like to explain it any way they can to suggest that they're right. And even if they're wrong, they'll say they're right or they'll say it's within the margin of error. I mean, I don't really care, honestly. Whoever wins, wins. But New York Times says that Biden has leads that are virtually insurmountable in Wisconsin.
Wrong.
11 points. In fact, somebody said it was 17 points in Wisconsin. I think it was ABC. But they say he's up by 11 in Wisconsin, by 6 in Pennsylvania. Oh, my God. Trump has been in Pennsylvania so much.
Yeah.
That crowd. Oh, my God. He had the big fracking machine out there. I'm telling you.
No, that was actually pretty funny that he had a fracking machine. Brought a fracking machine to it. It was pretty. That was like Trump doing his good huckstering. Trump is.
Well, he should be pounding that issue.
Yeah, he should
Pennsylvania.
Be. Arizona, he's up by 6. Florida, he's up by 3, which is a state that, you know, Trump cannot lose Florida. But Biden's also up by 8 in Michigan, and it was suggested that maybe it's more than that in Michigan. And the New York Times says this should be the biggest win since 2008, at least, at least, when Obama got 365 electoral votes. In fact, the way I read 538 and the New York Times, I don't know how Trump gets 220 electoral votes. I really don't.
You need, what, 270 to win?
Yeah, he needs 270. But then you can read something else. I mean, if you read, like, the Washington Examiner or, you know, certain other places, they'll tell you why there's still hope for Trump. And even some of the more down-the-middle places will say, there is a path by which Trump could win. It's a little – but that's what they said in 2016.
Yeah, and there's a path he could win where he doesn't even win Michigan or Wisconsin.
Which is really weird to think about. He has to win Minnesota, and, you know.
Nah, they don't even have Minnesota lit up on that one.
What does he have to win if he doesn't win Michigan or Pennsylvania?
It's coming from Nate Silver. So basically the whole South, Florida, everything in the South, both Carolinas, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Indiana, Missouri, Louisiana, the whole
Well,
central.
Pennsylvania, though, he's down. It's,
oh, I know. I'm
it
just
sounds
saying.
Like it's insurmountable in Pennsylvania.
But you just hear that, you know, he has to have Michigan and Wisconsin. That's not necessarily true.
I have to tell you something really funny, though. Everyone I know who is like never Trump hates Trump. And I go, you must be excited. It looks like Biden's head. They're all like, I don't know. I'm not so sure he's going to win. Nobody feels confident in the least. The polls could not be more clear. They've not moved one iota. And if you read, you know, the publications of record, they will tell you that, you know, every time somebody says Trump's closing, he's not closing. It's all smoke and mirrors. Biden has stayed ahead by 8 to 10 points virtually the entire time.
It's funny. I did see that same article that said that there hasn't been a change. But Biden hasn't changed in Michigan, but Trump went up 2 points, and there still were 6% undecided voters, which seems kind of odd at this point.
He's up by.
If you were undecided by now, wouldn't you just not vote?
Probably. I mean, yeah.
It clearly doesn't mean
that. I swear to God, like a month ago, I was like, I don't know why I would vote for either one of these people. I guess I'm voting against someone, but I'm not sure which person I'm voting against because I'm not really for either one of them.
Well, the shame is that there's other things on the ballot to vote for. All politics are local.
Yep. And if that's true that all these new people voting favor Joe Biden, then that will certainly affect a lot of other things. I mean, 538, pardon me for referencing 538, but 538 still claims that the chance of the Dems winning all three, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, is over 70%.
What?
Yeah.
I believe that.
But there's like a Rasmussen poll, on Friday that said Trump was going to win, so.
Oh, now there are a couple polls where Trump does very well. That would actually, if Trump is where he is in that poll, I would think he would win all those swing states that he needs to win.
Rasmussen, because, that conservative group.
Well, 538, that liberal Nate Silver.
That's why I said it, yeah. Mm.
The funniest story over the weekend by far was...
Well, Rasmussen even has Biden winning Florida, so I don't know what that means.
The funniest story I saw was the Biden-Harris bus that was threatened while leaving Texas by Trump cars, which surrounded it with flags, and they called 9/11. They called 911 on the Trump cars.
Well, did you see that video of them waiting on the side until the bus came by?
No, I didn't. I really.
It's weird.
I mean, it looked really stupid. First of all, I can't believe anyone would chase a bus.
Voter intimidation.
A political candidate.
Really? But I can believe it from either side.
It's too stupid. It's just too dumb. It's a bus.
Yeah. Well.
What are you going to do?
I'm just not surprised by anything.
I guess I think too much of people because I'm just shocked. What did 911 do, by the way? Did they go arrest somebody?
No, they couldn't. They said, this is in our jurisdiction.
So what happened to the bus? Did the bus get away safely?
Oh, it crashed. Everyone on board died.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
I saw all the memes where it showed all the Trump trucks lined up, and then next to it is a picture of all the ISIS trucks lined up, and it says, I can't spot the difference.
Really? Okay. Well, there's flags on one group. Just look at the flags.
Flags on both. American on one, and then ISIS flags on the
other. Yeah, but you can tell the difference between two flags.
Do we have the 911 call from the Biden-Harris bus?
Did they release it?
No, I don't know. I'd love to hear it. It seems like they would.
Let me see. see what I can find.
I mean, what were they? Did they think they were being threatened, or were they just being forced to slow down, or what? I didn't understand what they were doing. I saw the pictures, and I didn't really watch a video. Is there a video of it?
Oh yeah,
video there's of tons it. Of video.
Who took video? Other cars did.
Yeah. And people in the.
Oh my God! Is there anything that's not on video?
Breaking news: Maz just declared this game that's on right now the worst 23-23 game he's ever seen.
Really? How many 23-23 games has he seen?
It was just, I just saw that as Brandon was scrolling through.
Here's one of the videos.
Running them out of Texas. It is hilarious.
Where's the bus?
I'm about to run out of gas, which I'm sure some of you would love. Shit, look at that.
Oh, they just hit each other.
Good one. Yeah, I think they... They did hit one. They did hit a car, but I mean, everyone is fine. Cool.
It looks like everybody who was in there was also filming whoever they're.
Oh, everyone in the bus.
Road rage.
Maybe they just thought they were at a speech with all everybody honking.
Look, man, if I cut you off, I apologize. But what are you doing? You can't do this. You know, I got a couple of kids in this car. You can cause an accident and get someone killed.
Were they tailgating, or did they make it, or stopping in front of it or something? I just wonder what they did. I mean, I still, they're all around it.
I don't know.
And did
I think they're just intimidating, quote unquote intimidating.
Oh no, because that one says it's the bus's fault. Did you see that? Go up to that guy said it was the bus's fault. The bus was the one swerving into the cars. So,
oh, this Why one, this Trump is video proof.
911.
Video proof shows the Biden campaign bus in Texas swerving lanes close to Trump cars. Oh, well, that proves it.
That proves
it.
Over the line.
Proves it. Yeah. When do we get to hear from the bus driver, do you think? When will the bus driver do an interview?
Tomorrow morning, maybe.
Let's see.
Did you guys see this thing about Kirstie Alley tweeting? This poor woman cannot tweet anything without just being absolutely blistered.
Is this the one where CNN replies to her?
Yeah, which is like, when did companies start replying? I mean, CNN is a network. It's, you know, networks generally get a lot of complaints. It's like, you know, your viewers are your customers and you generally accept them and you're kind of nice about it. Or you, that's how it used to be. Well, she says, I now know my personal friends who walk around in sheer terror of contracting COVID are simply CNN viewers. I decided to watch CNN myself. If you want to live in terror, watch CNN. Fear of dying is their mantra. So CNN responds, Kirstie, you're welcome to change the channel, just like countless viewers did every time Veronica's Closet came on TV. But don't downplay the loss of 230,000 American lives. And then this guy who's director of office...
Nice comeback!
The director of the Office of Ethics says, do you reflect on how many deaths you may have personally caused? Why does he think she killed someone?
I don't know. Now, the head of CNN is Jeff Zucker. Is he the one that... canceled Veronica's Closet because didn't he work at NBC for a long time?
Oh, yeah, he did. I mean, does CNN, do they really reply? Is that how they normally reply to people that
don't
like their coverage? They taunt them? I just thought that was really strange. It reminded me of when, oh, God, what was it? Somebody said something terrible and, oh, I know. Remember when Roseanne said Valerie Jordan was whatever?
Yeah.
Did she call her the N-word or
Jarrett.
Something?
Yeah.
Valerie Jarrett. And
Ambien
said that she said, sense. I was taking Ambien and I really, you know, didn't know what I was saying. And they said, we are not aware of any side effects that include racism. Now, does Ambien really respond? I mean, because people have driven cars on Ambien and gotten in car accidents. Do they say, we're not aware of side effects where people think they should drive a car? I mean, that was them being smartasses.
I thought the bitch was white.
I'm just not used to people like the people that run Ambien or their PR departments or CNN. It's just weird. I would think they would just want to like stay out of it, or they would fear.
You can, I mean, if you Google like best company comebacks on Twitter, there's tons of lists.
Yeah, but they're normally kind of clever. Like Wendy's is always kind of funny.
Wendy's is a great, yeah.
What does Wendy's make fun of people when they say something bad about Wendy's?
No, they're really quick with stuff. Now I will say, if CNN wants to pretend that they're, you know, fair and balanced, then they wouldn't do stuff like that. But I think they're beyond pretending now.
Yeah, I don't think there are many people pretending anymore. And honestly, you know, one thing. Well, there was the guy from The Intercept over the weekend who founded The Intercept who resigned because he said they censored his article. Did you read that story?
No.
Glenn Greenwald, I think is his name. Anyway, he was the founder of The Intercept. He and another guy, and it was a big website blog, and it's kind of morphed and grown, and you know, now it's got a board and all kinds of editors and whatnot. And he still writes for it, and part of his deal is that he has complete editorial control over his content, and they were not allowing him to write certain things, or they were editing his story or not allowing his story to be published, so he just quit his own operation, The Intercept, and then he put out a long story about it. But as far as newspapers, there's a feeling that now that people are paying for content, which is, you know, I guess there's more and more. I've noticed more people asking for my money, and frequently I just go, I'll just read that somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, a lot of people are paying for this. The free press is trying really hard right now to get people to pay for subscription content that you're used to reading. I mean, whether it's Wojo or Mitch Albom, you know, frequently they're behind a prescription wall now, or subscription wall. So the feeling is that you got to serve those people, give them what they want.
Of course.
And so, you know, if you report on something that you know they're not going to like because of your editorial nature, then you risk losing money. And you depend on that.
Well, it's the same reason certain stories are popular, even though they're not really news.
Yeah. There was one thing that this is a really weird thing. Evanston, Illinois, is right near where I grew up. They were our big high school rival, and there were a couple stories that came out of Evanston that I thought were just really bizarre. Because Evanston, first of all, it's a pretty diverse place.
Northwestern's there.
Yeah, Northwestern's there, which gets a lot of attention now because there's some weird shit going on at Northwestern. It's extremely...
What's going on there?
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you in a second. Evanston is very liberal, extremely woke. It's generally
That's a nice place.
As far as politics, about 90% Democrat in terms of voting. So, first of all, this story is just so... It's just so silly and so isolated. I was just surprised it's even getting all the attention it is. A sixth grader's remote learning account in the Evanston middle schools was hacked, and the N-word came up on his PE yoga assignment. Of course, the parents were outraged, although they said it appears to be isolated, affecting just the one student. So this other parent says, I don't think Google Classroom is safe. Predators trying to harm him through his classwork. It's overwhelming. What's next? Parents don't know if the hacker is another student or an outsider, but the district is trying to get to the bottom of it. Anyway, I was just surprised that this one little hack, which is bad, would become a story. One kid?
Was it really a
hack? Why would someone do that to a sixth grader? I mean, a sixth grader?
Well, it's probably another sixth grader.
Oh, no, that's what I thought immediately, but... I mean, these parents quoted in the story acted like, you know, you're not safe anywhere.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a little dramatic. And then Northwestern, this story is just really fucking weird. You probably remember this story because we talked about there was all these protests last year because Jeff Sessions was speaking at Northwestern. And there were protests. And they actually had campus police that were sort of protecting this activity, which very few people were even attending, because the student campus was so pissed about it. So the student paper took some pictures and did a story.
Yeah, I remember.
And the students said that they were triggered and they were re-victimized by the story in the paper. And also that they were angry that the paper had contacted them.
Yeah, because it re-triggered them again.
It re-triggered them twice. The pictures re-triggered them. So they... they then came out and said that they were sorry that nothing is more important than ensuring that our students feel safe. Photos, tweets, and pictures of students fighting police were deleted, and students participating had to get permission for their names to be used. They couldn't even be, you know, they couldn't even say so-and-so was at this thing or so-and-so was arrested or whatever. They just deleted the names because they said that they didn't feel safe. So there's a lot of feedback on that from people saying, you know, that's not what news is. You guys are really going in the wrong direction.
Yep.
So anyway, the editor is a black senior. I can't remember his name, but just for whatever context that adds. This is just an observation I made. I thought that this was really, first of all, the students were being so childish about, oh my God, I'm in a picture, I'm re-triggered. And I was thinking, these are people who know who the attorney general is, who are so angry that the attorney general would be given the chance to speak at their university, and they can't handle being in a picture?
Nope. Soft.
Pretty strange. So the editor says many students and activists, many who are minorities, feel that we show up into spaces and we don't care who's there, but we just go to extract a story and then we never talk to them again. So in other words, they use people for news.
That's how it works.
Yeah, people are either news or they're not news. You're not deciding to make friends with people.
We only want to hear your story on that one thing.
Yeah,
and everything.
And this is really strange. It's sort of being hailed as a new approach to news. And I'm like, no, this is not news. This is something new, entirely different. This is not how news is done. Also, the Harvard Crimson was getting a hell of a time for getting a quote from U.S. Customs and Immigration Enforcement as part of their story. They had a protest, which they covered, by the way, with pictures. Ooh, dangerous. The protest called for the abolition of U.S. Customs and Immigration, and the Harvard Crimson called the department for a comment, and the Harvard Crimson, the students, were outraged that they included a quote from U.S. Customs and Immigration. But that's usually how you get both sides of a story.
Yeah, they're wrong.
But that's crazy. So now Northwestern students want campus police abolished. They're having daily protests and nightly protests. They said, this is a quote, people don't understand the violence of having police on campus, the violence of living as a black person and having to attend Northwestern University. Fires and graffiti. Oh, there was a lot of graffiti on buildings on the campus, and also there were a few fires and some flag burnings. Nothing major, but just things that were burned up in front of the president's house and a lot of graffiti, I guess, on a couple buildings. So the school president was angry about that, and so the students were sort of angry that the school was angry.
everyone's angry.
But they said that they had asked that the newspaper not use their names because they feared retaliation from Northwestern University. Northwestern University, by the way, is not a really vicious place. This all sounds so horrible. Mm. We want to go to a university where we're heard, seen, and loved, not profiled and surveilled. Northwestern's president sent a mass email saying the school was disgraced by people graffitiing buildings, causing damage, and setting fires. Members of Northwestern's Community Not Cops, that's the organization that is protesting the police, called the email tone deaf. Kind of like, how dare you complain about some graffiti? We're being profiled and policed. No one was arrested, by the way.
Wait a minute. So do you think that there was probably a time where campus police didn't exist and they got it because they requested it?
No. No, I don't. I think that there's certain things that go wrong on a campus because it's a big place, and so they need police to. And college, I can't tell you, campus police, as I remember them, they weren't super duper tough because they really aren't out to fuck the students over. They go to the university. But there are crimes that happen on campus, and so
someone's got to quiet down the parties when they get loud.
Yeah,
at night.
Exactly. And people give out parking tickets when people park places they're not supposed to, to stadiums. And
I always felt like the U of M police were an actual police force.
Yeah, they are a police force, but I just don't know how many crimes they solve. And, you know, of course, college students are generally pretty decent people. They just like to party and they can be destructive. But anyway, these protests, many of which were at the president's home, in front of his home, no one was arrested at these. So yesterday, or on Halloween, the Student Coalition has broadened their complaints, and they're demanding that Northwestern terminate its relationship with the Evanston police. Now, the Evanston police, by the way, not known. It's a fairly diverse. Evanston, like I said, is super woke, super liberal, and has a fairly diverse city and police force. But they are now demanding the Northwestern University terminate its relationship, not just with the campus police. They want them ended. They want their relationship terminated with
That's
Evanston
a nice
police.
Place.
It became violent when students threw bricks at Evanston police during a protest and were shining lasers in their eyes. And there was some property damage, nothing too bad. And there was some pepper spray and there was one arrest. But, you know, what's really weird, this thing, because they had a little bit of video of it. People are so comfortable throwing bricks at police. I would never even imagine throwing bricks at a police. But it seems that the standard of behavior.
Where do they get the bricks from?
I have no idea. I mean, people were throwing bricks at the New York police. There's been a lot of brick throwing.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because people left them out. Antifa left them out. No, but honestly,
There was a block of bricks left.
If you were going to go to a protest, would you just know how to go get bricks? Presumably, the Home Depot being closed.
Not particularly. I mean, there's frozen water bottles that people take and things like that. But I just can't imagine throwing a frozen water bottle at police. And we've seen police who were hit in the head and were knocked out or were injured and whatnot. It's just.
This is the worst school ever. I mean, doesn't anything cool ever happen here?
Anyway, Northwestern, I just don't see it as a place where students are being arrested and beaten up and shot all the time. But, they would have you believe that, yeah, that is. They are being profiled and policed in some way that is so unsafe and so triggering, not to mention the student newspaper and the dangerous way it does business. Not anymore, though.
It's really frightening coming from a journalism school.
No, that's what people in journalism were saying. And my feeling about journalism is that it has fallen so far. It's kind of refreshing to see them say that isn't good journalism. But
you'd think they'd be happy. Aren't the Wildcats in first place in the Big Ten?
I don't know. Does Northwestern care about its football team? I'm not sure that.
Oh, when they win, yeah.
Priority.
They're first place?
Are they in first place?
They had a big comeback win over Iowa.
Yeah, so they're around 17. In fact, they said the most comebacks by over 14 points in the last 20 years or something.
They destroyed Maryland and Tua's brother.
Oh, I heard Tua's brother
nice
played pretty well Friday night.
Great Friday night. He looked like his brother.
Did he throw the ball a lot?
Yeah.
Just throw down
how do you pronounce his first name?
It's Tuia. I think it's like he almost has the same exact name as his brother. Yeah. I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. Was it Tagalova? How do you pronounce it?
I don't know either.
Tagliabella? I don't know.
It's like Matthew McConaughey. I'll never know how to spell it. Never.
Why would you need to know how to spell it?
I don't. But, I mean, it would be nice to know how to pronounce it.
I guess I could look at the spelling of his name.
Did the Dolphins win today?
All right.
Yeah, Tua.
Well, that was weird because they started Tua. They won last week, and then he just played a few downs last week, and then they started him this week, and they won.
Yeah, his brother's name is Tulia Tagovailoa. I think that's how you pronounce it. 26 of 35, 394 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception.
Wow, that's plus, for Maryland?
Plus 8 carries, 59 yards, 2 touchdowns. But they played Minnesota, so,
No shit. Wow. Interesting. Because he played at Alabama.
Yeah, I know. And then Loxley got the job at Maryland, so he bolted.
Interesting.
That guy at Alabama is a fucking stud. I can't think of his name.
I know. The talent at some of these schools and the talent of the backups and the third stringers is just unbelievable. That's why I still am surprised that Wisconsin just said, oh my God, we have 12 players we can't play.
So did David Pollack on ESPN Game Day. Is very upset. Thinks the Big Ten is just messed up at every turn.
I agree.
Yeah, well, no one else on the panel would say it. And, Desmond Howard.
Desmond has COVID.
He looked very ill, I thought. Didn't you think he looked
really, a little off, yeah.
Oh my God, I thought he looked terrible. Like he'd been sneezing and coughing all night. Prince William had COVID too. He just announced.
Who?
Prince William and Kate Middleton. I think both tested positive.
Really?
Sounds like the UK is a mess.
Yeah, they're shutting down for 4 weeks. They're shutting down, I think, till December the 2nd.
I think France, Spain, and Germany are too.
Oh, boy. Well,
so when's our shutdown coming?
Well,
Biden takes over.
Probably. I heard Whitmer was saying, you know, we may have to take some steps backwards, and naturally the restaurant community is very fucking upset about that because, for one thing, you know, there have been so many spreading events on college campuses and in the counties where the colleges are. It's like, why are you taking this on all the restaurants who have already stumbled through the first part of this thing and some of them are hanging on for dear life? And there were 447 spreader, wait, they call them super spreader people or super spreader
events where there's two or more people that get it.
Ten of them were involving restaurants. Ten out of 447. Is that reason to shut down restaurants?
Well, I guess maybe because you can't shut down a house party.
Well, no, you can't shut down a house party, but why would you shut down restaurants if they're not causing it? I mean, 10 is not many. I mean, that could be 30 people.
She wants control and power.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, when it comes to my health club, I couldn't put it any other way because first of all, there aren't even that many people going when I go. Matt said he saw it slightly busier, but it's just not, people aren't near each other in the health club. I don't understand how would all, has there been a health club spreader event?
Not in Michigan. I mean, there have been other ones, but not in Michigan.
I haven't heard of any in Michigan. And, you know, health clubs had to wait all this time. How about hair salons? Have they had a hair salon spreader event lately in Michigan?
No.
I mean, look at all this hullabaloo over shutting down these industries. And yet, you know, it seems that I haven't heard anybody say that they should shut colleges down and stop having college.
Sure. Well, no. Cause
but we know they're all spreading. So, and, you know, it's so obvious. So that age group, I don't even think that's surprising. And I don't even really take it out on them. Because they're, you know, if you're 19 years old, you're just not really feeling terribly vulnerable. And you're not. I mean, there's not a very good chance anything's going to happen to you. You're going to get it, and you're going to get over it.
Well, yeah, but you don't want it to spread. You've done a pretty shitty job stopping the spread of it.
Well, yeah, on college campuses they have, but nobody talks about shutting them down. That's what I mean. It's like, if you're going to shut things down, shut down things that are actually causing the problem. And I would say, if I was to predict problems, I'd say they're going to be between people like 15, 16, and 21, 22. I just think that's humanity. Those are the people who are just going to not pay attention, or they're not going to follow the rules. And so far, it pretty much is that group. It's really morphed. At the beginning, it was a lot of older people that we heard about, and they were dying pretty quickly because they were compromised. And then as time went on, it was younger, younger, younger. And now the colleges are back on campus. It's it's a very young group that's getting COVID.
Well, it makes you wonder how many of them were asymptomatic before and just never were tested, never knew about it.
Yeah, hard to say. But Michigan football doesn't seem to get any COVID. Well, they had one case.
I gotta tell you, honestly, football programs in general in the country are probably safer than the schools themselves.
Well, they're tested so often.
They're also under complete surveillance.
But, yeah, I don't know how complete it is. How do these Wisconsin guys all get it?
Well, no, but I mean, they're constantly, they have to have meetings. They have to be, you know, they have to.
Oh, yeah, they're busy. They keep them busy.
Yeah, it's not like they're sloughing off. Did they party? Yeah, of course they party.
I don't know. I mean, I would think not even partying that much.
I was going to say, that message is probably, yeah, I remember after the Minnesota game, one of the Michigan players said that the guys who didn't even travel with them reported like to the athletic building. Because there's such, you know, fear of getting it and spreading it within the team. So they just want to be responsible.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, give them, if that's the truth, then give them some credit. Whatever players do that.
Yeah. I just don't think a lot of people their age probably aren't quite that wonderful.
What's that?
A lot of people their age probably aren't that wonderful.
No, that's kind of the point.
Where'd Trevor Lawrence get it?
Probably from everybody else on Clemson.
Probably from every how many total chick at Clemson he's nailing.
How many total positives have they had at Clemson? They've had a ton.
I mean, how many players did they miss the game this week?
I don't know this week, but
did they have a whole bundle of people out?
You and I know that it's been a problem at Clemson for the last couple months.
Yeah, I just didn't know how many people missed the game. He's going to miss Notre Dame game, too. So
I know,
you want to hit the outro, Brandon?
That's all anybody cares about.
Of course. Well, he'll be okay. Trevor Lawrence. I don't think COVID's going to take him down.
Yeah, he'll still be the first overall pick next year.
If he goes pro. Maybe the Jets will hire Harbaugh.
Why would the Jets hire Harbaugh?
I don't know.
So where's he going if he leaves this year?
Harbs?
Yeah.
I don't know, to a farm upstate? Put him out to pasture?
I mean, I just assume he's going to take a football job somewhere. Maybe we'll work with his brother.
The word was he was not supposed to move again when he came here.
Oh, yeah. I think they all, I'm sure they felt that he was here for keeps because he's a savior.
No, I mean from the wife, yeah.
Oh. Interesting. The people who tend to write about Michigan and football always suggest that, but who else could coach Michigan? And I always end up saying, do you really think that Jim Harbaugh and Brady Hoke were the only people that could have possibly coached Michigan?
No,
what,
but
why do people think that way?
But I thought Harbaugh was a good hire. I didn't hear anybody saying, oh, what an awful, terrible hire.
Everybody was so pumped.
There are other, he's not the only person that could make Michigan win a football game. I mean, there are other people.
Clearly.
If you're a good football coach, it doesn't matter what you're connected to.
It just shows you
how win anywhere.
Oh, it shows you how hard it is to find that guy.
Well, other people find him. I'm sure Michigan can. They have spent as much money as anybody. I mean, it should be an attractive place if they really want to look at the whole pile. But we'll see. All right. Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Was a big victory. I left Spellhauer a stinger of a message, and all one can say is, too bad, wasn't that just a hell of a game, man? Mother f***er, huh? Oh, my God! One of the greatest games ever. Oh, my God, what a f***ing game, huh? True, baby. See you.